AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 36 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sears. Where the thorny matter of homelessness is concerned, the city of Denver is not sitting idly by. This from Sue Cobb with the Human Services Department, which is working to create additional shelter space for the city's homeless population. A proposed shelter would be in Cobb's own building at 1200 Federal. She says today staffers are meeting with residents in the area near her place of work, but it's not a speedy process.
There is no timetable for making an announcement on this, but obviously, the need is urgent, so we're hoping to move ahead quickly, but it definitely will depend on how the neighborhood receives our responses to their concerns.
Cobb says the city is proposing transporting the homeless by bus to the Human Services building at night and busing them elsewhere in the morning. Cobb says the local chapter of the Guardian Angels today offered its services to patrol the area around the Human Services building during the hours in which it houses the homeless. Already at crisis proportions, Denver's homeless issue intensified Wednesday when a man froze to death in Civic Center Park. Murder charges have been filed against two women in the death of Lakewood attorney Thomas J. Roberts in September. Terry Ann Martinez and Linda Garcia Aguilar are two of four people charged with first-degree murder, burglary, robbery, and felony theft. Roberts was found dead in his basement with his arms and legs bound with duct tape. A third suspect has already been bound over for trial, while police continue looking for the fourth suspect. Members of the 360th Transportation Company received a warm welcome home yesterday at Fort Carson. The 87 soldiers were greeted by husbands, wives, parents, and children they hadn't seen for 9 months while serving in Iraq. All of the soldiers in the 360th made it home, although there were some close calls while they hauled fuel in tanker trucks during combat. One of the unit's fuel trucks was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade, but the crew jumped to safety with only minor injuries. Jennifer Spare says she's happy that her husband will finally get to hold the couple's newborn son.
You know, all reunions are special, but when you had a new addition while they're gone, that just makes it even more so and makes it feel like it'll be complete now.
Unit Commander Captain Todd Meyer says he's proud of the excellent job performed by the 360th. Colorado's Mile High Red Cross says it will reorganize to cut costs because donations are down and the budget is in the red. The move includes 5 layoffs, 7 vacant jobs that will go unfilled, a 12% cut in expenses, an efficiency review, and cutting 4 branch offices down to 2. However, spokeswoman Sarah Spalding says the chapter's level of service won't change.
We will still be there when there are single home fires. We will still be there for wildfires and blizzards. It will not be evident. What we're making changes to are the way in which we're able to provide those services.
January 1st, the Adams County Red Cross will move in with the staff in Boulder, plus the Denver and Aurora branches will consolidate in Aurora. A renewed search is underway for missing University of North Dakota college student Drew Shadeen. About 150 National Guard members are involved, and North Dakota Guard Commander Mike Haugen says personnel have done similar searches in the past.
We've been called out to search for missing persons many times. We use not only members of the Guard but a lot of the equipment. Sometimes it's helicopters with infrared equipment on them.
They also plan to search tomorrow and Sunday. Shadeen has been missing for about 3 weeks, and authorities say their hopes are fading that the 22-year-old will be found alive. The Bush administration is still spending time deflecting criticism over contracts awarded to help rebuild Iraq. White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan says just because a government is not on the list of 63 countries able to secure rebuilding contracts in Iraq does not mean there can't be diplomacy.
If other countries want to join with coalition forces in those countries that are contributing troops on the ground, then we would welcome that. If countries want to join in our efforts, the coalition efforts and the efforts by the Iraqi people who are also sacrificing in this cause, then the circumstances can change.
The White House is also facing criticism after it was discovered that Halliburton may have overcharged the federal government by more than $120 million. Vice President Dick Cheney had a prominent role in the company before joining the administration. Stocks are mixed, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average still above the 10,000 mark. At last check, the Dow was up about 17 points, NASDAQ down 3, almost 4 points, and the S&P down just about a half a point. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into Philadelphia tonight to take on the 76ers. Nuggets are coming off 2 straight losses. The Cleveland Browns come to Denver this Sunday to take on the Broncos. Denver quarterback Jake Plummer says he doesn't think they'll suffer a letdown after their resounding win last week over Kansas City.
You know, it was a big win, but we've moved on from that, and coaches made sure that, you know, what we did last week was last week, and we've got to move on and play a scrappy team in Cleveland. I mean, they're, you know, we watched them on Monday night play St. Louis, probably should have won that game. So We're ready for their best shot, and we've got to be prepared.
Come into Sears this holiday season to find gifts for everyone on your list. Don't just give a gift. Give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy, and we got a problem at Alameda and Federal. Sounds like a guy went through there, hit three cars, and kept going. So watch for accident investigation there. I-25 at Downing, an accident in the cleanup stages, as well as Colorado and Leedsdale. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun, a few clouds for us this afternoon. The high will be 32. Tonight, mostly clear down to 14. And then Saturday will be partly cloudy with a breezy west wind, and those downsloping winds will look for a high warmer at 40 degrees. Again, it is going to be windy on Sunday, especially in the morning hours. Otherwise, partly cloudy all the way up to 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 38 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. This is the holiday edition. We have jam-packed. We have Santas. We have carolers. We have silent Santas. We have raunchy Santas. We have Suzanne Brown, who's going to join us from the Denver Post. She's the style editor. We have Mark Schulgold, who's a classical music critic for the Rocky Mountain News, in case you are thinking about getting nutcrackered. We have food critics. We have Lori Midson. We have Rebecca Landwehr from 5280. We have Marty Midas from the Rocky. Santa A. Claus, also known as Mysterious, is going to be dropping by. Ray, a member of Traffic Jam, stops by to play some holiday riffs. Got a lot cooking. And I just want to let you know, next Wednesday, put it on your calendar, 1 o'clock. Tell it to Tim. Back by popular demand, our CEO, Tim Brown, he's going to take all of your questions, anything you have to say, if you want to make comments about the station in any way, shape, or form, lineup changes, programming, that's the time to do it, next Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We are joined by two of our favorite people, the two Style Matters women, Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman. Thank you so much for joining us. We need your help this holiday season.
Well, thank you for having us.
And you know, you can hear them on KNR at 10 to noon every Saturday morning. Start your weekend off with a lot of good advice. All right, here's the question that nobody knows what to do holiday season. What do we do about tipping?
Tipping is a very confusing subject. I mean, it really drives people crazy, and it's been like that for centuries.
How did it get started?
Okay, well, we sort of researched this, and I'm in charge of that because I'm the former history major. Got to use that degree somehow. All right, so it turns out that tipping stands for to ensure promptitude. All right, and during the Middle Ages, tips of gold were given to peasants in the streets by horse-mounted feudal lords who wanted to make sure they got through the streets safely.
Oh.
That's how the tips first started.
Oh.
And then.
So if you wanted money, you'd just stand in front of a feudal lord with your hand out.
Saying,
otherwise,
exactly.
He would run you over with his horse.
Or you should, you know, I think the reverse was also true, that you made sure that, you know, the feudal lord knew that he was not going to get through unscathed unless you got the tip.
Right.
All right. Someday tipping back to the Roman Empire, but the practice became very popular in 16th century English pubs. And do you know, it's been such a confusing topic that in the early 1900s, a group of traveling salesmen in the United States started the Anti-Tipping Society of America.
Good luck. How long did that last?
They managed to get tipping abolished in 7 states, but they couldn't hold on to that. And then, so now we're back to tipping.
We're back to tipping.
All right, so what do we do? Evelinda, how do we handle this at this time of year?
Well, it depends. I mean, this time of year, it's more than your standard tip. It's also an addition to your standard tip for a holiday gift. And I don't mean if you're going to a restaurant and you're tipping, you know, your
waitress.
Well,
we know at a restaurant, if the service has been good, you want to do about 20%.
Right.
Okay, especially if it's a nice restaurant.
Right.
Okay, we know that, but we don't know what to do with the hairdresser.
Let's talk about the hairdresser. For example, if you have the same hairdresser person that you go to regularly now, and this person keeps you looking fantastic all year long, you give a substantial tip.
Hard job.
For all of us.
A thankless task.
So, for example, a hairstylist and colorist, it's $20 and up. In addition to their standard tip.
Wait a minute. What do you give? I was always taught growing up.
In a separate card.
All right. I was always taught growing up that you don't tip the owner of the salon. And then I have friends who say, well, there are people and they rent chairs in salons, so they really own their own operation. You don't tip them. What's the etiquette about that now?
The etiquette is if they're providing a service on your head, you tip them.
As a holiday gift.
No, as a gift. Let's just talk about regular time.
Regular. I don't think you do.
A booth rental, you tip.
If it's a chair rental, you tip.
You tip them.
And what's you tip? What percentage do you tip? The same as restaurants?
Exactly.
Yeah, you
20%?
Treat them exactly the same. But if it's a salon owner during the year and he is doing your hair, you don't tip.
But if they have their own chair in the salon, they're still their own boss. Is that...
I'm talking about if they actually own, they're paying the rent for the space, and
right.
They're the owner of the salon, and they're paying their employees a salary, and he or she is doing your hair, you don't tip.
You don't tip. But then what do you do at the holidays?
You give a present.
You give them a gift.
You give them a gift.
And if it's going to be money, what are you going to give?
It goes up to $20 and up. Whatever your let's say that you're tipping 15% to your hair provider, and let's say your haircut is, you know, $10, and which wouldn't that be a miracle? And you're tipping $2. So for the holiday, you multiply that up. You pretty much double it for the holiday, in addition to your regular tip.
Okay, so you make a separate card.
You make a separate card and you put it in an envelope.
Yeah, just don't thrust cold hard cash in their hands. Give them a little card, put it in a nice gift envelope.
What if you did that to somebody and they never sent you a thank you in the previous year? Would you be inclined to do it again?
Well, I don't think they're going to send you a thank you. How many people do you give a present to anymore that you get a thank you for?
Oh, see, now I can't disagree with you more about that.
I'm not saying it's proper, but how
I mean,
people?
Even to, I don't even think that there was a phone call or a thank you on some of these things that I've done.
They don't
and
thank
I'm
you enough, when you give it to them? When you present it to them,
you.
They don't say thank
I sent
you?
I sent it.
Oh, you sent it.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Sent
that's
it.
A problem.
That's
and
a problem.
It was not an,
yeah.
And it was not a small check.
Yeah. You know, I tell my kids, because they get a lot of gifts during this season, I tell my kids if they have not written their thank you notes within the 2 weeks after receiving the gift, I take the gift away and we send it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the rule
at your
house.
Yes, I'm a stickler for thank you notes.
I am, too. I like what Ralph Waldo Emerson, I think he talked about this, that when you want to thank people, it sort of clears the transaction. It completes the transaction. And it's just, besides being a civilized and very kind thing to do, there's something metaphysically powerful about thanking
people.
Now,
let me ask you.
And we're such an entitled society, we can't be bothered to write the thank you notes anymore.
Did you send a thank you note to the bosses of the radio station for hosting a holiday party?
No, but maybe I should do that.
Technically, you should.
Maybe I should do that. I hadn't thought about that.
If you're really going to follow it through and be consistent, you should.
You send a thank you note for everything. So let's say you're at a book club and there's a holiday exchange between the people in the book club. You exchange books. Are you going to send them a thank you note?
It depends. It just depends. But if someone sends you a gift and they're sending you a not small check,
right.
I think that a thank you note is in order or a telephone call.
Right.
Thank you so much. I had to prompt One or two people. I said, did you ever get the blah, 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 blah? Oh, yeah, thanks.
Oh, no, that's rude.
Uh-huh.
But, for example,
yeah.
My hairdresser, I gave her a check. And she gave me a hug and a thank you right there live. I don't expect a thank you note.
Well, I mean, that's fine, because you gave it to her.
I gave it to her.
But if you mail it, maybe that's the solution this year. You just give it all in person.
Well, the question is, if someone hasn't thanked you, do you want to do it again?
I think you change hairdressers.
I don't know.
At that point, you change hairdressers.
These are different people, not simply.
Right.
But, okay, here's the question. Do you give a gift to your boss? I was always told that that was improper to do.
And
you don't do it because it's real suck-up.
And it
depends on the gift. And it depends on your relationship with the boss. First of all, you don't ever want to give your boss something too personal.
Or too expensive,
exactly. That's just, you don't want to go in that direction. But, for example, my husband has some employees. They give him a gift. It's not a big deal, but it's a nice acknowledgement. It's a thank you.
They give it as a group.
Here are some ideas. If you want to give it as a group, that's a good way to solve that problem. And a lot of companies do that. But if you want to do it individually, we like gift certificates. Gift certificates to their favorite restaurant or to a bookstore. A book is a good idea. A plant. Something that's, if you're going to give a book, make sure it's not a personal book. It's something about, it's a new business
book. I regard a book as a gift certificate because if someone doesn't like the book, they can take it back and get whatever they like.
Exactly.
And you haven't done the cold card, cold hard cash thing. I'm a little bit funny about gift certificates. They're easy to do. Retailers love them because many people do not redeem them.
Right,
and
they get
this,
money.
Yeah, and they
or
get to keep that money.
Places.
Or they charge you if you don't use them in a year
exactly.
or a short period of time. They'll charge
money.
You a buck and a half a
but
month first, or $2.
But technically, for your boss, a lovely holiday card will suffice.
Or, bake them some cookies or some brownies or something like that.
Okay.
That's something that he knows you spent.
If you don't like your boss, you put a lot of cholesterol in it. Send that cholesterol cake out.
For example, the people that work with my husband, they give a donation in his name to his favorite charity. And
that's another lovely idea.
Yeah, it is.
They collect the money as a group. They donate the money
you
to
make
the charity.
You make a contribution, let's say, to the homeless shelter, to the food bank, to whatever,
right.
whatever.
In their name.
Okay, now you get a holiday invitation, and it tells you casual dressy, dressy casual, black tie optional. What does any of this mean for
It me? Is so confusing now, and it's particularly confusing in Denver because, frankly, nobody knows how to dress.
That was Judy speaking.
Judy,
you have been here
for how many years in Denver?
I've been here since 1982.
And why is nobody
knows
how to dress?
We did a column on this. I think last year we went to the mask event at Cherry Creek Mall. We couldn't believe it was a black tie event and people were wearing jeans.
Black tie event, let me tell you, they wear sweatsuits to the theater.
Okay.
Everywhere.
Yes.
In San Francisco, everywhere.
No, in New York they do too. T-shirts and sweats on Broadway.
Yeah.
But here's
it's not just Denver.
Not just Denver.
Here's Style Matters philosophy. When someone invites you to a party, they are putting forth the effort, the expense, and their time. The least that you can do is respect them by showing a little decorum and dressing appropriately.
It's a sign of disrespect if you don't come dressed nicely.
That's all it is. So if for your company party, let's say, you don't want to come in sweats. Your company has put forth the effort to dine you, so you show up dressed appropriately, whatever the invitation says.
All right, so what if the invitation says dressy casual? What does that really mean?
Oh, God, please. That's a nightmare.
We hate that.
That's a very Denver thing, dressy casual, because people don't want to commit. Is it dressy or it's casual? I can't really make up my mind, so I'll make it dressy casual.
Well, it's like, here's the way I read dressy casual. Dressy casual is, it's a step above Friday casual or sweats. In other words, you can be creative.
It's more than
you
a step.
You can do a silk kimono with jeans.
It's more than that, though. But, men, if somebody's having you to their house and they say dressy casual, or it's an office party, they say dressy casual, we think men should wear a sport coat.
Not a tie, but
a sport coat.
And women
dress appropriate to that.
A slack suit, a skirt suit, something like that.
Okay, so that's dressy casual.
Correct.
All right.
So what we hate are these things that don't exist. When people say, come create a black tie, there is no such thing. There just isn't. You don't go to that party. I'm not going to that party because they're such idiots.
or black tie optional.
Yeah.
That
just
shows that the host or hostess doesn't know what's going on. They're so confused. It's either black tie or it's not.
Or it's not.
And if it is black tie, a man, it's easy for a man. He wears
a
black tie. Yeah, but you're not supposed to say tuxedo.
Oh,
you know
not?
That? No.
No.
Emily Post said it was bad for him. She said that in the 20s.
Oh, I think
she's not here anymore.
But you know what? But the tuxedo's come along.
You say a dinner jacket.
Well, it's come along long way, though.
You're not allowed to say drapes either. You're supposed to say curtains. It shows that you have no breeding at all.
Now
say
you
drapes.
Say window treatments.
Or window
treatments. You don't even say drapes
can you
anymore.
Say suitcase or do you have to say valise? I always heard that one.
I don't know. I never heard that one.
But basically,
I collect old etiquette books. So it's got all this arcade information that nobody. This is a society that wears sweats to the theater and can't write a thank you note. I'm sure it's not gauging the distinctions between black tie or between whether you're supposed to say drapes or curtains.
You know what we want to talk about is what you wear to the office party.
Yeah,
because
what do
this
you
is a mistake.
As little as possible at some offices.
And that's,
no, that's
so wrong.
A big mistake.
That's
a big
I know.
Mistake.
I know.
You dress conservatively. Remember, we like to say that an office party is basically work with finger food. That's what it is. So you dress conservatively and appropriately. This is not where you show your legs, your shoulders, your arms, your anything.
Now, I went to an office party in San Francisco once. It was at a famous radio station, and one of the prime talents wound up taking it all off and doing a dance on one of the tabletops. So I guess she wasn't following any of your rules.
And where is she now?
Yeah.
She's still there, married to the boss.
Oh,
well, okay. But that,
one of
typically
the bosses,
that doesn't happen.
Exactly. Typically, the boss
typically
doesn't
that woman
one
is
night.
Not looking at a bonus.
It was either at the top. Went down. Never mind. I can't remember. Anyhow, okay. So don't do that. Don't make the mistake of acting improperly at the office party.
And here's the other thing.
You will live to regret it.
Yes.
Here's the other thing you have to think about. When you go to these parties and your spouse is invited or your significant other,
right?
They have to look good too. They can't look like schlubs.
They cannot come in sweats.
Because they reflect on you.
That's right. Okay.
So you're a package deal when you walk in the door.
What if your significant other is the same sex?
They
should you do that? Should you do
they
that at the office?
Dress appropriately.
Yeah, but should you... Are you going to out yourself at the office?
Well,
if the
not,
office doesn't
you
know.
What? We're
that's
not dealing
story.
With that. We're just
all
dealing
right.
with what he or she should wear.
What she or he should wear.
Right.
Dress appropriately.
All right. Dress
okay?
appropriately. And what other rules should we observe as we are in the thick of the holiday
don't
season?
Don't try and drink your boss under the table. Not a good idea
no,
at the holiday
isn't.
Party.
No.
Keep a free hand.
Not
that
unless
is,
you're Mrs. Boss.
Exactly. Don't have like a hand with hors d'oeuvres and a hand with a drink. So you cannot shake a hand. To your peers and your bosses.
Right, and don't hold your drink, which usually has ice in your right hand. Hold it in your left hand so that when you handshake, you're not giving someone a cold
how
handshake.
How do you hold your drink, and how do you hold your food thing, and then how do you shake hands
because
all at once? I've never been able to master
you
that.
Don't eat. Don't eat.
I am
you
a
don't eat.
You eat before the party.
You don't eat.
You don't eat at the party.
No, you don't eat hors d'oeuvres at the party.
You wait until dinner is served. All you do is drink at the party?
Hold a drink.
Pretend
very
like
small
drink.
Just nurse a drink. But have that hand out, baby, because you're networking.
Because remember what we said to you. It is work with finger food. Don't eat.
All right. So we're talking about gifts. We're talking about tipping. We're talking about navigating the office party. What else should we know? We have just a few seconds left. My guests, if you're just tuning in, are Style Matters. You can hear them at from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays. Evelinda Ehrman and Judy Schwartz. What? These are your advice has been invaluable so far.
It's the holiday season.
What
right?
about if you're caught with a coworker under the mistletoe? What?
Don't then? Kiss.
Big mistake.
Don't
we,
do it.
We recently did a show on this. And
on mistletoe?
No. On infidelity. And where is it happening the most often? In the workplace.
Basically, if your wife or husband comes home and said, oh, don't worry, honey, Enid is just a friend,
yeah,
her
that's
antenna
a problem.
Needs to go up. Okay? He's lying, Enid. He's lying.
I mean, you should think about this. The office party, in some ways, is just as important as the first time you meet with a new client or something like, or your boss, or you're going for a job interview. It's that important. And people don't remember that. They think it's a time to let loose, and it's not. It's a time to tighten up.
You're absolutely right about that. I agree with you. All right. What advice should we take with us as we're moving, you know, as we're navigating ourselves through the holiday season? Dressy casual, casual dressy. What are we supposed to wear to parties?
Whatever the invitation
says. We should dress up. We should make it an occasion. I think that's really what you're saying. Make this an occasion. Let me tell you what I was always taught. If you are invited to a dinner party, you really want to, your job as the guest is to add something to that dinner party. Either you should be a good listener or you should be a sparkling conversationalist. But you have people now going to dinner parties, it's like serve me, and they sit there like a lump. It's like they feel no responsibility. And I think what you were saying is if you're invited to a wonderful event, treat it like an occasion. Honor your host and hostess in this way.
Absolutely.
And
who was it that says when you walk in the door, you're judged by your clothing, but when you leave, it's by your wit?
Ooh, I like that very much. Well, here's my question. If everybody's wearing jeans everywhere, how come you're seeing all these fancy party clothes in all the stores?
You
who's
know,
buying them? Who's wearing them?
They're buying them and they're going out of state. That's the only thing I think of. I mean, but if you're not sure what to wear to an office party, call the person in your office who's in charge of it and say, what are you wearing? If you're invited to your boss's home, call the boss's wife and say, what is the dress? And
so there's no shame in asking.
There is
never
absolutely
a shame
no
in
shame.
Asking.
And your host or hostess will appreciate that you've asked and you've come dressed appropriately.
Who should you send tips to besides, let's say, the person who does your hair? Who else are you going to be tipping? Do you tip the postman? Do you tip the paper carrier?
The postman can legally not take cash.
Okay.
That's a law. That's a federal law. So for my postman, I put in a, you know, like a sleeve of chocolates in the mailbox with a nice note.
Okay.
So technically, but some do, but technically they cannot take cash. That's the postman.
And who else do you typically tip?
I mean, let's finish
the
with the
carrier.
Hair salon. There's
right.
the shampoo person. Now a lot of people are going to spas. There's your esthetician. There's your masseuse. I mean, there's a whole group now
of people.
You have
a whole squadron of people that are keeping us in shape.
Absolutely.
I can't believe it. Well, thank you so much. You two are wonderful. And you can always find Judy and Evelinda, Style Matters, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays. Thank you so much for joining
us. And
if you
missed our tipping column, it's going to run, I think, at the Rocky Mountain News next Thursday.
That's right.
It'll all be there, codified there for you to
You have a Rocky Mountain column that appears every Thursday in the Rocky Mountain News, and it's wonderful. You got a lot of heat for that fake handbag column.
Yeah, that's something.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio, AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
Has the drivel from the left and right become as stale as the fruitcake you'll receive for Christmas? PlayingPolitics2004.com has fired a missile across the bow of American politics. They've created the perfect stocking stuffer for the person who still has a sense of humor after listening to Ann Coulter and Al Franken. These two 54 card decks have been rejected by the New York Times because they picked on them, but described as awesome by U.S. News and World Report. These cards at last represent a view from the center, which means they don't like the stance that either far left or far right takes. Better than any board game and perfect for the student, professional, or homemaker. PlayingPolitics2004.com is sure to make your holiday gatherings a spirited event as you gather with friends and family. These decks are moving faster than Bill Clinton's hands and George Bush's policy statements. So order now in time for Christmas. Playing Politics can be viewed and purchased through the tattered cover, the Artisan Center, or at www.PlayingPolitics2004.com.
Tune in Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till noon for Style Matters, sponsored locally by Aspen Grove, where life meets style. Style Matters is a weekly discussion of the Denver lifestyle as it relates to fashion and style. Hosted by Judy Schwartz and Evelyn Ehrman of the Style Matters column of the Rocky Mountain News, you'll hear lively discussion regarding fashion, style, local shopping, and more. That's Style Matters, Saturday morning from 10 till noon on 1150 KNRC. Sponsored by Aspen Grove, shopping Colorado style.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1228 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. I am yours until noon. And this is the holiday edition of Enid Live, and joining me right now is Suzanne Brown, who is the style editor. Have I got your title right? Of the Denver Post.
Fashion editor.
Fashion editor. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us today. Talk to us. We were just talking, we briefly touched with Judy and Evelinda. We briefly touched on what do you wear to some of these parties. How can you be stylish? You know, here are all these fancy clothes in the windows, but everybody seems to be just wearing jeans. What's your experience?
Well, I guess I tend to see a different side of it a little bit than you, because I do go to a lot of events where people are stylishly dressed. I was at a store party last night in Cherry Creek Shopping Center at Neiman Marcus, and people were dressed to the nines. I mean, this woman had on pink Dolce & Gabbana boots that had flowers on them. I mean, just incredibly ornate, beautiful clothes. But I guess
that would be a party of fashionistas, though, wouldn't it? At Neiman Marcus?
Yeah.
Needless markups?
And I go to a lot of, like, fashion shows, too, and people tend to dress for those. But I guess I see a very young crowd in Lodo on the weekends, and I see people dressed really well out on the streets and in the bars and in the restaurants. So I do think it exists. I think when you tend to walk along the mall on 16th Street or whatever, and people are just kind of humdrum or going about their daily business, you don't see it. But I do think that people dress for occasions here. And I think the holidays can be a great time to dress without having to spend a lot of money, too. I think.
Oh, tell us. How do we do that? Well, thrift shops and vintage shops are another, and consignment shops are ways of doing
exactly.
that.
Exactly. But I've always believed in the power of accessories. I mean, you can take a black pantsuit, and if you have a fabulous pair of shoes, a great handbag, some great earrings, you can really up the ante, you know, of your outfit when you wear just a few great accessories. And you can take an outfit from the office to the evening with great accessories.
More jewelry,
exactly.
You know, glitter it up somehow.
Sure, change your handbag, throw a sequin top on instead of your turtleneck that you might have been wearing during the day.
Okay.
And you can sort of simply and, lovely, in a lovely way, change your look. Because I do think, as the ladies before me said, you know, when somebody's gone to the trouble to invite you to dinner or to have a party, that you should sort of respect them and, you know, rise to the occasion.
All right, what does dressy casual mean when you get that invitation? What would that mean to you? Now, I'll tell you what it would mean to me.
Okay.
It would mean to me exactly what I have on right now, which is like a silk kimono, kind of, what do you call these kinds of, like a Mandarin Chinese jacket kind of thing, and a pair of easy pants, velvet pants.
Right.
So to me, that could pass as dressy casual. You could get even dressier than that, a more dressy jacket, a pair of pants.
It could be jeans with a sequin top, you know, and a fabulous jacket. Or once again, you have a great handbag. I think what it doesn't mean is a sweatshirt and jeans, or just like a schlumpy sweater. You know, I think it means put some effort into it. You know, and for guys, that would be maybe instead of just like a polo shirt, it'd be a great sweater. You know, in a pair of cords instead of just jeans.
Suzanne Brown, who is the fashion editor of the Denver Post, if I were to ask you how you would define style, what would you say? What is it? It's a sort of, it's an intangible, how would you answer that not easy question to answer?
Well, that is a very good question. I'm not sure I have stopped to think about it in a while, but I think style is an aesthetic sense that some people have and some people don't. I think you can definitely work on and improve your sense of style, but I think it's a quality that certain people have, and when you see them, you know it. It's something that separates them maybe from the masses, whether it's the way, you know, they style their hair or the clothes they wear or the way they speak, their posture. There are just certain people who possess qualities that, you know, it's how they decorate their apartment or their home.
Their use of color.
Exactly.
Some putting it together in some way that it's just sort of puts them in boldface type.
Exactly. And there's a different sense of style. I mean, there's natural, you know, people are definitely more natural or organic or earthy. I mean, that can be a beautiful style. There are people that are very, very urban and sophisticated and cosmopolitan, and that's a whole other style. So I think there's not just one, you know, one type, and I think that's what we try to encapsulate in our section. Our style section, we try to look at different styles and different types of people and how they live. And it definitely affects how, you know, style is a sense of how you put yourself together, how you put your environment together, who you choose to be around.
If you're, you know, I have not been a big, I love the idea of the style section of the Denver Post, the Sunday. I am a big fan of the style section of the Washington Post, but I have been very disappointed. I don't think this is your baby, so I hope
I'm definitely involved in it, absolutely,
But it has been very disappointing to me, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but talk to me about the style section, because in some the first week was disappointing, the second week looked like a throwaway.
Can you be specific?
It's thin. There's nothing in there that's very stylish. There are some pictures, but then there are, you know, things on coasters and a few things on restaurants, and it's not, it's there's not enough substance there.
Right.
There's nothing stylish in the writing could be more stylish.
Mm-hmm.
The choice of what is covered to me could be really cutting edge and more stylish.
I
wondered if it was just an advertising vehicle.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
No, it's very much a calculated product that we're putting out. And what had happened is during the week, we have we've changed our focus on the lifestyle section and entertainment. We put more a mix of entertainment and features in the daily section. And what that has meant is that there are more stories about TV and less about fashion during the week, for example. And same way with food. So we had gotten food and fashion squeezed out of the daily mix. And so we felt that Sunday was a good opportunity to get those topics back in the paper. So we have.
I love those topics,
right,
food and fashion.
Right,
but I'm
not
seeing. I want to know who are good cooks in Denver who are teaching class. I mean, I don't know. This is just off the top of my head. I'm not a newspaper editor.
Right. I think if you look more closely at the section every week, we have a component called Real Help. And like for example, during the holidays, we've given people advice on when they're throwing dinner parties, what the key elements are. We offer etiquette advice. We offer kind of social skills types of things. This is sort of news that you need to know to live a better life. We have home features in there. We've profiled various local people in their homes because we think that that's another aspect of style, and that's how people like to live. And our fashion components have ranged from very sort of soft touch, low key, inexpensive, such as slippers as gifts to give for Christmas, to really high end things like outerwear, which we did 3 photo shoots on to do outerwear. We did everything from very expensive jackets to more sort of functional.
If we're going to be giving some gifts, and we only have a few seconds left, if we are only giving gifts and we're on a budget, what are some good gifts to give?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what I mentioned, like things that are soft and cuddly and warm this time of year, such as slippers, gifts that say something about the person that, their personality. So I think you have to go on that. What their favorite color is, what their favorite.
But if you don't know, and you're trying to guess, is it too? Is a bottle of wine always nice? Assuming that they're not an NAA.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that can certainly be appropriate. I think that's a nice hostess gift to bring somebody. It's not real personal, unless they happen to be very much a wine lover. But yeah, I think that can work. Yeah.
Suzanne, thank you so much. Is there any information you want to leave us with that here we are as we're navigating our way through the holidays?
Right.
Dress, in terms of gifts, in terms of
I think once again,
entertainment. What would you tell us?
I think again, once again, it's think about the occasion you're attending, whether it's like a potluck dinner, at a neighbor's house or a black tie event, and dress appropriately and think about the occasion.
How about don't fear dressing inappropriately in the sense that don't be afraid of overdressing.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid of being festive if that's how you feel.
Right.
Maybe you should dress to reflect the way you're feeling at the moment.
Well, that's very true. And I think people invite you to their home because they want to see you. They really don't care if you've got on blue jeans or a velvet blazer. They want to see you and they want to connect with you. And that's the most important thing. So I think that's the message to leave people with.
Suzanne Brown, fashion editor of the Denver Post. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. Twelve thirty-seven. Time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sears. Staffers from the Human Services Department are meeting with nearby residents to discuss the possibility of opening the Human Services Building at 1200 Federal as a temporary homeless shelter. Denver's homeless crisis has intensified following the death of a homeless man who froze to death Wednesday night in Civic Center Park. Denver police are looking for a man they say walked into a Cash Express service center at 2101 East Colfax last night, put a package on the counter, then walked out. Minutes later, a phone call came in demanding money. The bomb squad checked the package but didn't find any explosives. Colorado had an early flu season this year. Now each of the 50 states is reporting cases of the flu. 24 states, including Colorado, report that the outbreak is widespread. The new strain of flu that has hit the U.S. has also struck in Great Britain, and there are fears it will soon spread to Hong Kong. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the 76ers in Philadelphia tonight. Nuggets have lost their last 2 games and are at 13-8.
Come into Sears this holiday season to find gifts for everyone on your list. Don't just give a gift. Give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
Just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland at the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of tonight's Billy Graham telecast. And boy, it just kind of got busy out there right now. Northbound I-25 right after Hampton. One car rolled over and it's on its wheels, which is good news. Watch for the two right lanes being blocked there. Kipling and 8th, we have an accident, as well as Wadsworth and 8th as well. Those are going to be problems for you. And one more for you, Carson and Andrews, an injury accident. He's met with Bono presidents and popes, and now he wants to meet where you're at. Watch Billy Graham tonight at 7 p.m. on KMGH Channel 7. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A few clouds, but lots of sun for us this afternoon. The high should be around 32. We have a pretty good warm-up into the weekend expected. For tonight, mostly clear down to 14. And then a breezy west wind for Saturday with partly cloudy skies and a high near 40. For Sunday, partly cloudy and really windy, mainly in the morning with a high of 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 42 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This holiday season, why not invest in a gift for yourself and your family? Something that will give you safety, comfort, and beauty, all while bringing you savings. I'm talking about doors. The entrance to your house provides security to your family while being the first impression of your home. Don't compromise these while contributing to high utility costs with old doors that let cold air in and warm air out. Call Colorado Door Connection at 303-425-3366 for a free estimate today. And as a gift to you this holiday season, you'll receive a free storm door up to a $200 value when you purchase any entry system with installation valued at $1,200 or more. Colorado Door Connection. Visit their showroom at 9710 West 50th Avenue, just off I-70 at Kipling, or call 303-425-3366 today. Here's wishing you and yours a very happy, safe, and warm holiday season.
KNRC Market Watch.
After being the star of the show yesterday, the Dow is trying to close above 10,000 yet again today. The blue chip average is climbing 18 points, resting at 10,027. The NASDAQ is losing 6. The S&P 500 is slipping a fraction. Boeing is losing a half dollar. Prosecutors are reportedly starting a new investigation into a relationship between Boeing's former chief financial officer and a former Air Force official. A company spokesman tells Reuters Boeing is cooperating with authorities. Federal prosecutors have subpoenaed Johnson & Johnson and Watson Pharmaceuticals as part of two separate investigations into how each company promotes its drugs. J&J is down a half dollar. Watson is actually gaining a half dollar today. And Time Warner is hitting a 52-week high. It's gaining a half dollar, trading just over $17 a share. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
12:43 on the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. Coming to you live from the Denver Press Club, this is the Holiday Edition, and I am yours until 3 o'clock. And joining me right now is Jay Dedrick. He is the Assistant Lifestyle Editor of the Rocky Mountain News. Jay, thank you so much for coming to the Press Club today.
Great to be here.
Delighted to have you. And why you're here is, if you are a fan of lights and light shows, this is the time of year, and Jay is the guy who puts together all those complicated maps. I mean, this is amazing. I looked through there, and I thought, how do they know all these addresses? Talk to me about how this thing got started, and how do you find the places to direct people to go?
Well, this is the 14th year that the Rocky Mountain News has done this section with News 4. And we started moving towards the idea of an all-map section last year. We've traditionally included driving directions for about 30-some routes throughout the metro area. But
how do you find out who's got a hot light show going in the neighborhood?
We ask readers, and readers are pretty good about being honest about their own displays and being honest judges of the other displays in their neighborhoods.
What if they say they have a really hot display and you go there and it's kind of pathetic? What do you do?
Well, we've had that happen in the past, and we don't list everything. This year we...
So you do have people going down and vetting people suggest themselves, and then you have somebody else vetting the...
Well, it was a huge undertaking in years past, and we had to have about 40 people doing that. And with adding the maps this year, we didn't have the same time frame to enable that kind of checking. So we relied a lot on our memory of last year's displays, and we asked readers to submit photos of new displays this year so that we had an idea that they were pretty good displays and not just anything. And so we have more than 300 addresses plotted on these maps.
And this is the first year you've done maps? You just gave addresses before?
That's right. We did. We've had traditionally... lists of addresses and smaller maps. This time the idea was we're going to do maps large enough that you can follow along and plot your own route.
Do you get a lot of feedback as to how many people actually take advantage of these addresses and maps and go looking for light shows?
We think it's a pretty popular section. We do get quite a bit of feedback. There are people this year who wrote in and called in and said that they missed the driving directions, and we understand that and appreciate that. We've also had calls and letters from people saying that they love this new format and they love the idea that they have these maps and that they can sort of pick and choose where they want to go and design their own strategy for checking them out.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Jay Dedrick. He is an assistant lifestyles editor at the Rocky Mountain News, and he's the guy who's in charge of putting together all these maps of neighborhood light shows, you know, people in the neighborhood who put on light shows. Now, here we are living in a time when the electric bills are going to be like 70% higher this year than last. Has it been a deterrent to anybody as far as you can tell?
It doesn't
or do
seem
more,
to have been.
More and more people do this?
It seems to be. I would suspect there's probably been a slight fall off. I know we talked to, when we were calling and verifying addresses this year, we did talk to several people that just said they're going to take the year off. They didn't necessarily say it was because of the electric bill. But you got to figure that's a factor.
What does it cost people to do? I mean, some of these displays are like people who have 5,000 cats in their homes. I mean, it's slightly grotesque. I mean, they have, they collect, it becomes a focus of their lives. Is there any observation you can make, having done this for a while, about the people who have these incredible light shows? Is it that this is the one thing that really distinguishes them in their whole lives? Is there some of that going on?
I think it's a couple of things. I think you're right. I think for the most part we see a lot of maybe retired people that have the time to put together these displays. I think they also have to be competitive to some extent. Most of the bigger displays started small and got bigger and bigger as years went on. And the Claver family in Englewood is a good example of that.
What do they have?
They have about 40,000 lights. It's one of the biggest displays in town.
What does it cost? Did they ever tell you?
They politely declined to say how much they spend. They do put out a collection box out front, and quite a few people drop in a dollar or two to help help back the...
Defray the cost
exactly.
of the lights, but
right.
It's 40,000 lights, you think?
Yeah, that's what they say.
And do they leave it on all year, or
no,
parts of it, or does it all go down?
He has a garden train set, which is pretty special in and of itself. with about a half dozen model trains running, and that's set up in the yard throughout the year, and that's his hobby, you know, 365 days a year. But it becomes a Christmas display, and they build up around that throughout the whole yard for the holidays, and that does come down after the first of the year. So,
what have you learned about the people who are doing all these light shows in all of this time? First of all, you've got to con a lot of reporters and people to go on these routes.
We,
is that
we had
true?
To do that. Well, this year it was more a matter of calling homes and verifying that they were putting on displays and contacting readers and getting photos from them and just devising a new strategy for plotting these maps. And so it was a huge team effort of people on the internet side and our art department and research at DNA just coming up with these verifying and putting together the information. That was the big undertaking. But what you learn is that people have a real intense sense of ownership of their light displays in their homes. They're very proud. They want them to be seen. And sometimes they don't get the information to us in time. They're left out. We run a follow-up list that'll run in next Thursday's section. But they deeply care about letting people know that they're doing this.
Do you? It's wonderful. It's homemade theater.
Yeah.
And do people give you feedback who have gone on the route? And
a lot of people tell us it's something they do every year and they look forward to it. We've talked to people this year that love the new format and they say they can't wait to get out and explore parts of the city that they're not
familiar with
because they have a map now and feel like it's showing their way a little bit better. So,
Jay Dietrich, it sounds like a daunting task, but you've done it well.
Well, thanks.
Thank you so much. I think it's a wonderful part of the season in Denver. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
Talk radio, both sides, AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at velcaro.com.
Musicians, new gear, new deals, huge holiday savings. $250 million worth of new holiday arrivals. Guitars, drums, keyboard, pro audio, all stacked floor to ceiling and price to go during this huge savings event. It's Guitar Center's December Deal Days. You're going to save 50, 60, 70% and more. Guitar Center's December Deal Days. Deal after deal after deal. Don't miss it.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
It's always better to give than to receive, especially during the holidays. Give what you can, but make sure you know who is on the receiving end. www.charitynavigator.org provides free online ratings of more than 2,500 of America's best-known charities. Charity Navigator objectively examines each organization's ability to raise funds, manage costs, and deliver on its intended programs. So before you write a check, visit charitynavigator.org and find a charity you can trust.
Do you want out of high car payments? Then the John Elway showrooms want to swap cars with you. You could end up making lower payments than you have now. Swap cars and let John Elway take your old car and lower your monthly payments.
Celebrate the holidays by giving toys to seriously ill children. Donate a new unwrapped toy at your local Starbucks between now and December 25th. And for ideas, stop by Kazoo & Company in Cherry Creek. They're donating 10% off the price of all toys purchased for the Holiday Angel Toy Drive to the Starlight Children's Foundation. Just mention to the cash year, you're donating the toy to the Starbucks Starlight Toy Drive. So bring a new unwrapped toy to your local Starbucks store and help brighten the smile of a seriously ill child this holiday season.
And now,
the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1253 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. This is the holiday edition of the Press Club shows that we do. We do them once a month from the Denver Press Club. You're more than welcome to join us. We have lots of people down here today. We are on Glen Arm, right across the street from the Denver Athletic Club, the DAC. And who has just slid down the chimney, plop, but Santa. And worse for radio, he's a silent Santa, but I hope you'll tell it's Santa Barry. Hi, Barry. Hi, Santa. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi. Thank you very much.
The reason you are a silent Santa, explain that concept to us here on radio, even though you're not going to be exactly silent right now.
I won't be silent, and I won't be doing any sign language, but it's for the deaf kids. The deaf kids, a lot of times, they sit on a regular Santa's lap. The Santa doesn't understand them. They don't understand the Santa. And they're not getting they don't think the Santa's getting the presents for them. So Cherry Creek Mall about 11 years ago decided to do a signing Santa. I was an interpreter for the deaf at the time decided to take that. And I've loved it. It's really fulfilling.
Well, I have to describe Santa here, who is ho-ho-hoing right now, but he's got a full white beard, and it's his actual beard. It comes off at the end of the season. How long, Santa, does it take you to grow that thing?
About 3 months. I started in September.
He has a shock of white hair. He has a twinkle in his eye, and he's just a very merry-looking Santa. So you work with children who are hearing impaired.
Yes.
And also, do you act as a regular Santa for normal children?
Yes, in fact, that's what I'm going to be doing this afternoon at 3 o'clock is going down to Cherry Creek Mall and substituting for one of the other Santas.
I got some Santa stories here. I remember first of all, I had a friend who was very tiny, and she went to law school with Bill and Marilyn Quayle and took the bar and I think didn't pass it immediately, and so needed to have something to do for a living. And because she was so tiny, and this was in the Bay Area, she went to elf school became a Santa's elf. It was one of the more horrendous experiences of her life as a potential and budding young attorney. But I remember being at the mall once where my sister and me were walking, and there were a bunch of kids in front of us, and Santa said to the little kids in front of us, ho, ho, ho. And ho, 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 little girl, and ho, 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 little boy. And then came my sister and me, and he said, ho, ho, ho. So let's hear about what really happens in Santa. Did you ever have to go to Santa school?
I was grandfathered in, so to speak.
Meaning?
Meaning that they were really desperate to have a man that was about my age, that knew sign language, that could talk to the kids. And so I had no training at all 11 years ago when I started the signing Santa. I just learned the ropes the hard way.
But there are Santa schools?
Yes, there are Santa
schools.
What
do they teach you at Santa school besides put on the white beard, on the red outfit?
They teach you manners and etiquette that the Santa should have, not to make the kids angry, how to stop crying kids. And most of the Santas, the mall Santas, are connected with photo studio, so how to get the child to look into the camera.
Oh, so they
there's
can sell
a lot
you,
of things.
So they can sell you a picture?
Yes.
Is that the story?
That's
it. Oh, my God, Santa's so mercenary. What else do we need to know about? What's the worst Santa story you have to relate?
I really can't think of any Santa stories.
None at all? Any of the most fulfilling Santa stories?
Oh, the most fulfilling.
Do kids ever throw up on Santa?
They've never done that to me.
They haven't?
No, the deaf kids are really great because sometimes it's the first time they've seen a Santa. And they don't have words. Even in sign language, they don't have words. They just come up to me and hug me and look into my eyes, and that's enough for them.
Do they say what they want for Christmas? What are the usual?
Oh, yeah.
What's the usual litany of gifts that kids want for Christmas?
With deaf kids, it's about the same as what it is for hearing kids. Whatever is popular at the time, Yu-Gi-Oh cards or CDs, Xboxes, Barbies are always in vogue with the girls. And
oh, well, now they got those little slut dolls. I forget what they're called, but these are little neighborhood hoes that are... All right,
yeah.
What do you say to the kid when he said, Santa, will you give me X, Y, or Z for Christmas? What do you say? How do you say that? You can't promise them because they might not get it.
Well, that is true. Usually I listen to their requests. They say, "Sen, I want this." And I said, "I'll do the best I can. I know where to get this. I don't make any promises." But
do you say that you're going to download all their requests? And do they want to know about Mrs. Santa and what she's doing?
You know, they want to know about the reindeer. They really don't care about Mrs. Santa very much.
I saw a story once that said that those reindeers were actually girls, you know, on Dancer, on Prancer, that they're really girls or they wouldn't have the kind of antlers. Santa, thank you so much for coming down our chimney today and joining us at the Denver
welcome.
Press Club. Have fun at the Cherry Creek Mall.
Oh, I sure will.
Don't go anywhere. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150. KNRC. It is the Christmas edition of our press club shows that we are doing. We do them once a month. And I am yours until 3 o'clock. And coming up, we're going to have Mark Schogold, classical music critic for the Rocky Mountain News, and a plethora of other guests. We're going to be talking about food. We're going to be telling you about what gifts you ought to consider buying. So don't go anywhere. Two more hours of Enid Live on the Fabulous Friday edition on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Melody Homes. Denver investigators are pounding the pavement today trying to find the man who unsuccessfully tried to rob a check-cashing business last night. Detective Teresa Garcia said the incident took place just before 7 last night at Cash Express on East Colfax.
A black male walked into the establishment, set up what appeared to be an explosive device on the counter, and then proceeded to walk out without saying anything.
Minutes later, the same Cash Express teller received a call from the suspect telling her to place money in a bag on the counter and not to hit the panic alarm. However, she told him she had already done that and that the cops were en route. As it turned out, what happened to be an explosive device, what appeared to be an explosive device he'd left behind, wasn't explosive at all, and the suspect never did get the cash he came for. Nonetheless, DPD still wants to find the man. He's described as black, 6 feet tall, 210 pounds, wearing a black hooded sweatshirt, was in his 20s, clean-shaven, and wearing thick glasses. One of the proposals for alleviating Denver's homelessness crisis has been to open the Human Services Building as a temporary shelter, but some nearby residents have said they're not happy about that. Sue Cobb with the Denver Human Services Department says city staffers today are talking with residents in the area of the Human Services Building about its being the site of that temporary homeless shelter.
We are working as quickly as we can today and you know, throughout the weekend to meet with the neighbors and try to address the concerns that they raised at a meeting we held to get their input this week.
According to Cobb, the city has proposed using buses to transport the homeless to the Human Services Building by night, then transporting them somewhere else in the morning. The local chapter of the Guardian Angels has also offered to patrol the area around the Human Services Building at 1200 Federal. The homeless crisis in Denver was again brought to the forefront Wednesday night when a 55-year-old homeless man froze to death in Civic Center Park. Members of the Fort Carson's 360th Transportation Company were welcomed home yesterday at the base. Husbands, wives, parents, and children greeted the soldiers who've been serving in Iraq for the past 9 months. Specialist James Spare says he's relieved to be home from Iraq.
It was nerve-wracking on the way home, so I was quite nervous, but it's good to be home.
Staff Sergeant Sean Pryor says he's glad to see his daughter and newborn son.
It's awesome. It's an awesome feeling. I mean, to have my little girl back in my arms, hold my son for the first time.
All of the soldiers of the 360th made it home safe and sound, but there were some close calls in Iraq. One of the unit's fuel trucks was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. The crew was able to jump to safety and had only minor injuries. If you have the flu, you're not alone. Officials say cases of influenza have now been reported in each of the 50 states. The outbreak is considered widespread in 24 states, including Colorado. The government will ship 100,000 doses of adult vaccine, plans to ship 150,000 doses of children's vaccine next month. The bug also biting in Great Britain, and there are fears it will soon attack in Asia. The oil services company, once headed by Vice President Dick Cheney, is standing up for its work in Iraq. The Pentagon says an audit has turned up overcharging by Houston-based Halliburton. Halliburton's top executive said the company welcomes a review of its activities. There's been a postponement in the capital murder trial of alleged D.C. area sniper Lee Boyd Malvo. Kathy Culpepper reports from Chesapeake, Virginia.
Judge Jane Roush has decided to let both sides take today off so that Malvo's defense team can review the testimony that is going to be given by the prosecution's rebuttal witnesses. Those rebuttal witnesses are mental health experts who do not agree with the defense's mental health experts who have testified that Malvo was insane at the time of the October 2002 sniper shooting spree. The defense team wants time to figure out a strategy to play down psychiatrists and psychologists who will tell jurors that Malvo was not insane. Malvo faces the death penalty if he is found guilty. Kathy Culpepper, Chesapeake.
Stocks on Wall Street continue to be mixed at this hour. At last check, the Dow was up almost 19 points, still above the 10,000 mark. NASDAQ is down about 4 points. The S&P up about a half a point. In sports, the Denver Nuggets continue their road trip tonight with a stop in Philadelphia to play the 76ers. Nuggets have lost their last two. The Denver Broncos welcome the Cleveland Browns to Invesco Field at Mile High this Sunday. Broncos quarterback Jake Plummer says after dropping a home game to the Chicago Bears, they know they have to go all out versus a lesser opponent like Cleveland.
We're in more into a must-win situation now than we were with when the Bears came to town, but we didn't let down versus the Bears, and we're not going to let down this weekend. We're going to go out and play to win, and you know, hopefully the things will go right for us. And like I said, we're just preparing to play Cleveland and win.
The Broncos are at 8-5, Cleveland at 4-9. Melody Homes' total sales event is this weekend from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Visit any Melody Homes community and receive an amazing deal on a brand new home. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
You know, only a few things make me moan with delight, but this is a family-oriented station, so I can only tell you about one. Chocolate from Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. This is Greg Dobbs, and I'll tell you something else, too. If your friends, your clients and customers, your co-workers, or your employees love chocolate half as much as I do, nothing will make them happier over the holidays than to get a gift from you in chocolate. Now, maybe it's the product you produce, or something in chocolate that represents your hobby. Maybe it's your company logo, or just a business card in succulent chocolate. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier can produce whatever you want, inscribed the way you want it inscribed, and this is the part that really makes it easy. They'll send it where you want it to go, which saves you the grief of wrapping and shipping your gifts. Now, you can see more at their website, denverchocolate.com, but to smell their chocolate, to taste it, you've always got wonderful samples to taste if you drop by, go to Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. They're on Steele Street in Cherry Creek North between 2nd and 3rd. Open every day of the week because there's never, never a bad day for chocolate. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by your local RE/MAX offices and a pretty interesting accident. I-25 right at Hampton. A car flipped over off the Hampton on-ramp onto I-25. Flipped a couple times and landed right in the back of a pickup truck. So they were able to get the truck out of the way and clean up the accident quite quickly. We do have another accident, though, southbound I-25 at I-70. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, RE/MAX. There's a RE/MAX real estate office near you, so call them today. RE/MAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun, a few clouds for us this afternoon. The high will be 32. Tonight, mostly clear down to 14. And then Saturday will be partly cloudy with a breezy west wind, and those downsloping winds will look for a high warmer at 40 degrees. Again, it is going to be windy on Sunday, especially in the morning hours. Otherwise, partly cloudy all the way up to 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 41 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. It is our holiday edition. Every time we do a Press Club show, it has a theme. And joining us in this segment, Mark Schulgold, who is a music and dance critic for the Rocky Mountain News. Thank you, Mark, for coming in today.
Well, thanks for asking.
Oh, we have to talk to you about the Nutcracker.
We do, don't we?
And the Nutcracker. Talk to me about that. You're not a good parent if you don't take your kids to the Nutcracker, but is it worth it?
Oh, of course it's worth it. I've taken my daughter to the Nutcracker every year since she was three. She's now a sophomore at CSU.
She's not bored?
And is
already a family ritual?
Is already making her plans to see it again. It is a family ritual, and for so many families across the country, it is exactly that. They don't really actually think about why the heck they're seeing this ridiculous ballet. They just go, you know?
Why is it caught on, do you think?
Oh, well, I mean, the first act is just so lovely and so Christmassy and so magical, and the kids love it with the mice, and the parents love it because they get to dress their kids up and take them to the theater and do a family outing. It's all warm and fuzzy.
And the kids get to shut up for a couple of hours.
Most of them shut up, yeah. Usually the ones that I sit next to don't, but that's all right.
Talk to me about the current production of The Nutcracker.
Well, actually, there's about a gazillion of them. The big one in town for quite a number of years has been the Colorado Ballet production. There's a charming version by David Taylor out in Lakewood. And there are all sorts of smaller school productions as well. But Colorado Ballet is the one with the live orchestra, the big set that Martin Friedman, the company, had got from England. It's a classic Victorian-looking show. It's also fairly pricey.
How pricey is it?
Well,
we gave away tickets. I think were they about $60 a piece or something?
Oh yeah, $60-$70. Yeah, you can spend a lot of money. And
well, what if you don't have that much money to spend?
Oh, then,
and you have a lot of kids, and
well,
it's a tough time of the year for you.
Then you go see Ballet Nouveau, or you see Boulder Ballet, or you see the David Taylor production, and all the way down to. Sadie Gless's little ballet school puts on a show. Everybody does The Nutcracker. All ballet companies must.
Well,
because
the version I like is the Mark Morris Hard Nut, which is so satirical
sort of
and
an anti-Nutcracker.
Yeah,
well,
it's so wonderful. And they have a lot of transvestites too dancing in those parts, which I didn't know because a friend's daughter, who's only about 5 feet tall, is a member of the Mark Morris company.
Oh, excellent!
And it's such an untraditional. Nobody could be a ballet, a ballerina who's 5 feet tall in any other company but Mark Morris. And so we went backstage, and the woman who played the nurse was actually a guy. I mean, I had no idea.
Well, it is Mark Morris. But anyway, we digress. But every American ballet company, large and small, basically has to do a Nutcracker in order to break even. It's the one show that will sell, that they can produce for 15, 20, in the case of Colorado Ballet, nearly 30 performances. It's a way to generate some revenue. Make up for the rest of the year.
Is it because theater companies are so strapped? Could they do a low income performance where it's just free to kids in the community who never have a chance to go? I mean, is there a way to do that, or do the benefactors buy maybe whole performances so that kids whose parents wouldn't be able to afford it?
Oh, sure, all of the above. There are a lot of companies that will present maybe excerpts from the show that will go to a children's hospital and dance excerpts. It is one of these gifts from the world of ballet to the community. It's just a warm, feel-good kind of a story. And we dance critics get a little cynical around this time of year every year. But
why ever would that be?
All right. But, you listen to the score, the Tchaikovsky music that most people know from the suite.
Dun, 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 dun.
Very nice. And, the music is very familiar, but it really is an extraordinarily wonderful score. There's some beautiful music and some evocative battle scene music. But it's just the combination of everything. It's the Christmas theme. It's the magical world of a little girl who goes off to the kingdom of sweets and this ugly-looking nutcracker doll that turns into a handsome prince. There's not a lot of romance in this story, but there's certainly a lot of warm, fuzzy feeling. And it's a tale that I think will always be popular. Amazingly enough, it really wasn't until the 50s in this country that it became popular. George Balanchine staged it for New York City Ballet. Before that, nobody knew about the Nutcracker.
How did it become a tradition? He stages it, but how did it really catch on? Or why did it really catch on, do you think?
It just did. And I think, as I said, a lot of ballet companies recognized that this could be a moneymaker. When the public just embraced it, and you never know what the public's going to like. On the surface, this would always seem to be a huge knee-jerk crowd pleaser, but in fact, it was a bomb when it was first performed about 100 years ago in Russia. So it just simply caught on. It just caught the public's fancy. It was something so unexpected and so different. It was a ballet that people could really relate to, a storybook kind of ballet that wasn't, for a change, Swan Lake or Sleeping Beauty.
How did you become a dance and theater critic? Or dance and music critic?
Oh, boy.
What is the pathway?
Well, the only way really is to just spend a great deal of your life watching dance, and that's something that I've done. My college days at UCLA, I started ushering, and they had a wonderful dance program. And I just started ushering all the dance performances, mainly because a lot of my fellow ushers were gals from the dance department, whom I was fascinated with. So I started attending dance. And it's just that experience of watching dance, of seeing great dance and not so great dance, of obviously reading about it and understanding it and finding a way to put it into words, which is actually not that easy.
All right. Here we have audiences that we've been talking about. What do you wear when it says dressy casual and casual dressy for the holiday seasons? And the truth is that you can go to the theater and people wear jeans almost everywhere now if they're not wearing sweats. So here we are in a kind of devalued society in that respect. Are there audiences for dance the way there have been in the past? You know, we see stories in places like the New York Times saying that the audiences for high cultural events, symphonies, opera, and so on, are declining in a lot of places. And here we're talking about dance and we're talking about classical music. How do you find it here in Denver? Are there large audiences? Have you seen audience decline or not?
It really depends, and there are seasons of the year where it declines and increases. Has a lot to do with the weather, has a lot to do with the lure of outdoor activities. This is a very outgoing, outdoor state, and the competition is fierce. And on a Sunday afternoon, of course, there's that local football team. So there are a lot of distractions.
Right,
there's a
exactly.
There's a lot of competition. But when it comes to marketing and promoting and catering to audiences, everybody is just working overtime, trying to figure out how to get people into the theater.
Well, but are they successful in doing it? I mean, we're talking about a time now when you don't have art teachers, you don't have as much music,
right,
art, and all of that in the schools. And those were places where audiences were getting developed and where an appreciation for art was beginning
absolutely
to form. And now we don't see as much of it.
Not as much, yeah. Every home had a piano, and every piano was being plunked on by some kid taking piano lessons and hating every minute of it. It was an American tradition. That's really fading out. There aren't as many young people studying music, and that's a real shame. But there's just not much that you can do except to keep on finding ways to excite people and to somehow bring them into the theater so they can discover just how wonderful it really is. It's not snooty. You don't have to have a PhD to understand a Beethoven symphony or to watch the Nutcracker and be taken by the magic of it. It's just simply the experience, and that's why, even though, as I say, we get kind of crusty covering dance, all of us critics, but I love the fact that parents bring their children to see this, and for them.
So you would encourage this?
Bring
not just to the Nutcracker. Bring your kids to dance.
Well, you have to choose carefully. I mean, Nutcracker obviously is a very easy to understand story, and there's a lot of things going on for the eyes. To take a kid to a concert, there's nothing to look at, and they don't understand sonata allegro form, so they're going to be a little bit confused and bewildered and bored and antsy.
But what
about
a ballet?
Depends on the ballet. You know, later this season, Colorado Ballet is doing a Peter Pan. Well, there's a no-brainer, you know. Even though there's going to be a film out, I would say, hey, I haven't seen this ballet. It's brand new. But I would say, Peter Pan ballet, sure. Take the kids. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. But what about parents who think, oh, God, grown, I don't think I can sit through another Nutcracker. You have been doing it for all these years since your daughter was a young girl.
Yes, I've seen probably close to 75 productions of the Nutcracker.
You must be like a Nutcracker expert.
You want me to hum a few tunes?
Sure.
No, you find something to love. And as far as parents are concerned who groan and moan and everything, just lose it. You know, just don't be so doggone high horse. You have to embrace the arts, and you have to understand that this is a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch, and it's a rare treat to have a company as decent and as consistently fine as Colorado Ballet.
So you are lauding the performance.
Yeah, I have
it has its flaws.
I have my complaints. Martin Friedman cut it cut it down, eliminated some segments just so that, as he said, the husbands and the kids wouldn't fall asleep. But I don't think they would. Anyway, I think he eliminated some things he shouldn't have, and I wrote that. But there you are.
And this is the first year it's in the Paramount Theater.
Correct.
And that's because what the audience, the auditorium is being.
The auditorium is being renovated. Yeah, Martin really got lucky. He was going to be homeless for his Nutcracker. There was no place to perform it. And Stan Kroenke bought the Paramount, approached him, and said, "Let's make a deal here." And so the company is contracted to be at the Paramount for the next 10 years. Even after the auditorium reopens, they will be presenting their Nutcracker at the Paramount.
How do they have to modify the show in order to be accommodated by the Paramount?
Modify the Paramount is what they did. They spent a couple million dollars, the Kroenke people did. And this is the group that owns the Pepsi Center and the sports teams and all. So they're getting into the culture business, which is wonderful. They spent a couple million dollars, enlarged the stage, expanded it, tailored it so that the company could mount its Nutcracker there to make it fit.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's money in culture, you think?
I think Kroenke believes that there is.
Is there?
How are they
going to do this? Because
they can be. Well, because they have a theater and they don't want it to be dark. And so you put cultural attractions and you put it in a nice theater.
Well, without being putting in cats every night, you know what I mean? The crowd-pleasing kinds of.
Yeah, again, you know, you're not going to appeal to, you know, as my editor calls them, Joe Sixpack. I mean, there's a certain level. I mean, this is a very cultured, educated community, you have to remember. There are a lot of college graduates here.
There are a lot of colleges here, and
yeah.
It has to be a cultured community, or you couldn't support two tattered covers as you do.
Absolutely.
And, who bring in a level of authors and people coming through
and
Denver that markets much larger than Denver aren't able to accomplish.
Those stores are always crowded. The tattered covers are every time I walk in there and I go, you know, we're okay. You know, people care about books.
High per capita book sales in Denver.
Right. So there you are. You don't have to look at the public as a bunch of yahoos. They aren't. And I think that's part of the mistake. If you condescend, if you pander to people and hand feed them this stuff, come on. You know, it's not that difficult to listen to Mozart.
A friend called with an extra ticket to Emmanuel Axe,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't able to go. I guess I missed a stellar evening, didn't I?
You did. It was a glorious recital, and not only that, but what I loved about it, this is in the Gates Concert Hall, a very intimate place. You got such a warm feeling from this man. He wasn't one of these elusive, inward, snooty
geniuses,
pianists that we all tend to think about when we think of classical musicians. He was just a warm, cuddly guy. And there was that warmth and that communication that he had with his audience, and the music shone through that way. And it was a wonderful experience for anybody, whether you know who Chopin was or not. You would have responded to that. And that's, to me, the shame. I look around the audience, and these are very intelligent, experienced concertgoers, but they're all in their 50s, 60s, 70s,
well, that's
80s.
That's it. It's older audiences. Where are the new, younger audiences?
You look for the kids, and you just, you know, heavens to Betsy, I might be out of a job if there's no music to cover, if there's no audience for this music. And to simply say that Beethoven and Mozart will live forever is not necessarily true. It takes guardianship, and it takes an audience, and it takes people who care.
But here we are, a society that's used to, you know, in the days when Beethoven and Mozart were writing, it took some doing to ever hear music. You had to assemble a group of classical musicians in somebody's ballroom to hear, or somebody's chamber music, to hear music. Now you can be in your car. You turn on the radio.
Oh, exactly.
You put a Walkman on. It's music is so simple that the act of actually going to a concert in a venue is, to a lot of younger audiences, not necessary. You can just put a CD
on.
Sure,
I think that's a good point. Not only that, not only can you listen to it.
And that whole sense of community is not, it's been fragmented anyway, so
right.
The community of concert goers further fragmented.
Well, I think for a lot of people, they don't dislike classical music, but they do dislike the experience of going to a concert and it being very stuffy and knowing when to applaud and not when to applaud and the whole formality of it. And that is off-putting to a lot of people. And, you know, you can only say so many times, hey, don't worry about it. Just come to the concert. You'll be all right. Just, you know, sit back and enjoy the music. You know, for a lot of people, that and in the case of a lot of organizations, the ticket price is pretty intimidating. And that, I think, bank has to change, and I've lobbied for that and screamed and yelled that things have to change. The prices have to come down. The audience education has to improve. The marketing has to become more lively. These experiences that are so 19th century for a lot of people are just something that they can't seem to relate to. I can relate to it very easily because I just hone in on the music and it speaks to me. I think it can speak to a lot more people than you might think.
Mark Scholgold, thank you so much for joining us today. Mark is the music and dance critic for the Rocky Mountain News. Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday Press Club. We're live from the Denver Press Club edition of Enid Live, coming to you on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
So, what will everyone open around your house this holiday season?
No doubt there'll be lots of great gifts.
Wow! And lots of refreshing Coca-Cola. And now, when you look for specially marked packs of Coke at participating retailers, you'll find up to $10 in holiday savings on Mattel toys, like Barbie of Swan Lake or Masters of the Universe. So refresh your holiday with Coca-Cola. You'll find great savings on exciting Mattel toys your children will love to open. Specially marked packs available until 12/31/03 or while supplies last. Coupons expire 1/31/04.
This Saturday at Sears from 7 to 10 a.m., save an extra 10% throughout the store, even on sale prices. With great savings on TVs, DVD players, and digital cameras, now is the time to upgrade your home electronics. And with Craftsman Tools on sale, helping build the ultimate workshop. Plus, save on cozy sweaters and sleepwear for the family. And if a little sparkle is on her list, find all fine jewelry on sale. It's the Saturday early open sale. Shop early and give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale date 12/13.
One of the season's most exciting family traditions is now at one of Colorado's most beautiful theaters. Don't miss the Nutcracker at the Paramount. Colorado Ballet is proud to feature the story of a magical winter night. This season with fresh costumes, sets, and new effects in downtown Denver's only remaining classic 1930s era theater. And parking is free at Plaza Parking Garage with any Nutcracker ticket stub. Now tickets start at just $20 and they're on sale now at the Pepsi Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. The Nutcracker at the Paramount is showing now through December 28th. Visit ColoradoBallet.com or call 303-357-ARTS for schedule and ticket information. Celebrate this holiday tradition or begin a new family tradition in the heart of downtown Denver. Colorado Ballet's The Nutcracker at the Paramount, a classic performance now in a classic new home. Tickets are on sale now, but seating is limited, so order early. Visit ColoradoBallet.com or call 303-357-ARTS today.
AM 1150 KNRC features more in-depth reporting than any other Denver talk station. Our in-depth reports have been recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and the Associated Press for 4 awards of excellence. Hear in-depth reports from award-winning KNRC reporters Mark Roberts and Stacey Farb during the Greg Dobbs Morning Show or anytime at knrcradio.com where you can click it and own it. Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:26 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month, and this is the holiday edition that we're giving you today. And I also want to remind you that next Thursday, December the 18th at 9 o'clock in the morning, the public is welcome to attend a breakfast on deadline at the Denver Press Club. And I happen to be the featured speaker. And it's going to be taped by Channel 8. Bruce Goldberg is going to be the moderator, and he is at the Denver Business Journal. And the program will be broadcast on Channel 8, I think sometime in January, possibly also in February. So if you want to make a reservation, you can do so 303-571-5260, 303-571-5260. And it's $10 if you're a member. If you're not a member, it's only $12. And I'll be the featured speaker, and I hope I don't give you indigestion. But that's next Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning. And joining us is an actor, actor Gary Kulig, who is who plays. Well, you tell me what you're doing, but you tell us what you're doing, Gary, so we can get this really straight here.
I'm doing a production of The Sandland Diaries by David Sedaris at the Bug Theater Company in
Tell everybody who David Sedaris is.
David
Sedaris. A novelist,
Sedaris,
for one thing.
Right, a novelist and a frequent NPR commentator. A very funny man. And this is based on his actual true story that happened to him. He moved to New York and didn't get the job that he wanted and had a hard time finding work and read an ad in a newspaper, a want ad from Macy's saying that they needed people to portray elves in their Santa display. So he gets a job as an elf, and it's about his trials and tribulations of working the holiday season in Macy's Herald Square.
What happens to you when you're an elf on salary?
Lots of different things happen. He talks a lot about the different Santas and how awful they are, how great they are, depending on...
Oh, some of those Santas are pedophiles. Don't kid me.
we don't get into
some
that.
Of them are, some of them get drunk. Some of them are drunk Santas.
Yeah, there's...
Some
there's,
of them have substance... Some of those Santas have substance abuse problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how do they screen out the pedophiles from Santas? I mean, well, that's a perfect job for a pedophile.
He talks about the interview process and how he has to go through a few different interviews. He has to do a multiple choice personality test. He has to take a drug test. He has to
drug test for
yeah,
Santa?
Yeah.
You're screening Santa's urine?
Right. Well, at least they really screen the elves' urine, so I'm assuming the Santa's too.
What else is he talking about?
He talks about just how chaotic and frenetic the holidays can become, and how commercial things get around this time of year.
Where are you performing this?
It's at the Bug Theater Company.
Where?
Which is on the corner of 37th and Navajo in Northwest Denver.
And when are the performances?
Basically, we perform now until Christmas Eve. Every night we have a matinee and Sunday evening performances as well. And then we do a few performances after the holidays, too.
And what does it cost?
It costs $24, and then there's a discount for students and seniors, and that's $20, and there's also group discounts available. People bring big groups to this.
And do we have a phone number where people can call for tickets?
303-477-9984, or they could check out our website at www.bugtheater.org.
This is a one-man show?
Yes.
And you're the one man?
I'm the one man.
You want to give us a little bit of an excerpt? This is from the David Sedaris' Santaland Diary. It's a one-man show about when David Sedaris, whom you can hear as a commentator on NPR, also he has written a number of best-selling books. He's had an interesting life, and they're always very confessional, these books.
Yeah.
And it's about his experiences when he was an elf at Macy's.
Right. All right. And this is from, like, the middle of the play, so he's kind of cynical and bitter at this point.
All right. Set us up.
All right. He works. There's a lot of different jobs you can have as an elf. There's not just the elf. There's... You know, Santa elf, photo elf, usher elf, exit elf. There's a lot of different
elves
positions.
Elves
that you
are specialized?
Play. Yeah, they're specialized elves. So at this point, he's farther along in his journey. They're getting close to Christmas, and he's not very happy working for Santa.
And so you are listening to actor Gary Kulig from a one-man show based on David Sedaris' Santaland Diaries.
Today I worked as an exit elf, telling people in a loud voice, "This way, out of Santaland." A woman was standing at one of the cash registers paying for her pictures while her son lay beneath her, kicking and heaving, having a tantrum. The woman said, "Riley, if you don't start behaving yourself, Santa's not going to bring you any of those toys you asked for." The child said, "He is too going to bring me the toys, liar. He already told me." The woman grabbed my arm and said, "You there, elf. Tell Riley here that if he doesn't start behaving himself, Santa's going to change his mind and bring him coal for Christmas." I said that Santa no longer traffics in coal. Instead, if you're bad, he comes to your house and steals things. I told Riley that if he didn't start behaving himself, Santa was going to come to his house and take away his TV and all of his electrical appliances and leave him in the dark. All of your appliances... including your refrigerator. Your food's gonna spoil and smell bad. It's gonna be so cold and dark where you are. Man, Riley, are you ever gonna suffer? You're going to wish you never heard the name Santa. The woman got a worried look on her face. Oh no, that's enough, really, thank you. He's going to take away your car and all your furniture and all the towels and blankets and leave you with nothing. The woman said, all right, no, that's enough, really.
Very good. Very good. Very good. This is from the Sandaland Diaries. Now appearing at the Bug Theater Company, 37th and Navajo. How did you become an actor?
When I was a little kid, when people asked me what I wanted to be, I'd tell them I wanted to be a clown. And then I saw my first play in third grade. I saw 42nd Street on Broadway. And I knew then that that's what I wanted to do. So since then, my parents have been wonderful, and they were great about getting me involved as a kid.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Parker. I'm a Colorado native.
And where were you? Where'd you get your training as an actor?
I've taken classes my whole life. I did a lot of stuff at the Denver Center when I was a kid, taking classes there on the weekends and stuff. And then went to college at University of Northern Colorado and studied there. Got a BA in theater and have been working professionally as an actor in Denver for the past 6 years.
You're very lucky to have been working professionally for 6 years.
Very lucky.
It's not easy. Have you had thoughts about going to New York or California?
Yeah,
or?
Of course. I mean, thinking of being an actor and staying in Denver is kind of a weird parallel. But I've actually had a lot of great experiences here and been able to do a lot and meet a lot of wonderful people and work at a lot of great places.
Well, you can get a lot of experience here.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do they say about New York? Everybody develops whatever they're doing someplace else,
yeah.
Often in small places, and they take it to New York, which is a big bazaar, and you can say the same thing about California as well.
Right, yeah, and I have lots of friends that live in New York that are trying to make it as an actor, and many of them in L.A. too, and they're not getting to do as much as I'm getting to do, and granted, the experiences they have are much bigger, but at least every day I get to get up and say, I'm an actor. I get to do what I love to do, which is a huge blessing. So,
what are the challenges of a one-man show? It seems to me they're immense because the whole production is on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And how long is each show?
It runs about an hour and 15 to an hour and a half. So it's a long monologue. So once you memorize it and get that out of the way, it is challenging to keep it fresh. This is actually the fifth year that we've done it. We've done this production for the past five Christmases. So doing a play that many times is challenging, as any actor who does a long run can tell you. But the great thing I think about doing a one-man show is that the audience is kind of the other person in the play with you. They're kind of collectively another character, and I'm talking to them the whole time. So every night is different because they give me different reactions, and they laugh harder at some things than other things, depending on the night. And that's fun to play as an actor with this new person on stage with you every night. So it's challenging, of course, in some ways, but I think it's really gratifying to do that as well.
Thank you so much for joining us today. My guest has been actor Gary Kulig. You can catch his performance at the Bug Theater Company now until Christmas Eve, including Christmas Eve?
No, it's until the 23rd, but we also have performances after Christmas.
After Christmas.
Until the 28th.
It's a one-man show based on David Sedaris's work. It's called Sandaland Diaries, and I think you'll have a fabulous evening at the theater. And I want to say something here. A lot of audiences, because it's so easy to get music or turn on television for something, and so you don't have the experience of being with other people. I've often thought when I was in New York that New York is so densely populated that we're going to find out that being in too close of proximity with other people is going to be detrimental to your health. But conversely, not being enough with other people, the sense of the community disintegrating in too many times in our lives or too many areas of our lives, meeting with other people in an audience can be very wonderful. Even if you don't actually talk to those people, there's some mysterious thing that we all inhale when we are part of an audience.
Yeah.
And there is some mysterious traffic that goes back and forth between the performer and the audience. So think about that. The next time you think, what do I want to go out for? I'm just going to watch TV. I'll watch Angels in America on TV, which was fabulous.
It was.
Fabulous on HBO, and they're still rebroadcasting it. Think about going to the theater.
Thank you
again, Gary Kulig.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming in
today to
the Denver Press Club. I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 40 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Melody Homes. Denver police are on the lookout for a man they say unsuccessfully tried to rob a check-cashing business on East Colfax last night. Without saying anything, the suspect placed a suspicious package on the counter and walked out. Then moments later, he called, ordering the teller to place cash in a bag on the counter. The bomb squad checked the package, which turned out to be harmless. Colorado's attorney general filed a lawsuit against a woman who made claims of free money for the asking. Carlotta Wilson claimed to have access to $900 billion in grant money that she was going to give out. It all started in August when hundreds of people filled out the required applications, but none of them have gotten any money. The flu has officially hit all 50 states and is widespread in almost half of them, including Colorado. Many clinics have run out of the vaccine, but federal officials say more is on the way. They've already shipped 100,000 adult doses and have ordered 150,000 children doses to be shipped in January. At least 20 children nationwide have died from the flu already this year. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Philadelphia tonight to play the 76ers. Tomorrow night, the Nuggets head to the Big Apple to play the Knicks. Melody Homes' total sales event is this weekend from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Visit any Melody Homes community and receive an amazing deal on a brand new home. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:39.
If you haven't heard the big news about dieting, listen closely. The experts are now saying that low-carb diet plans do work. But if the thought of eating nothing but meat sounds scary to you, continue to listen closely, because the next 30 seconds could change your life. Introducing UltraCarb. UltraCarb is the original carb-blocking, fat-burning supplement guaranteed to help you lose up to 20 pounds in the next month without exhausting workouts or life-changing diets. With UltraCarb, you can continue to eat the foods you love, pasta, pizza, and bread, and still lose weight. After blocking the carbs, UltraCarb works with your body's natural fat-burning mechanism to rid your body of unwanted pounds. Imagine looking in the mirror a month from now and seeing the thinner, happier you. And because UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work, you have nothing to lose except unwanted pounds. Call now to find out how you can receive a one-month supply free with your order.
Call now, 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. Lose unwanted pounds 100% safe and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 1:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of tonight's Billy Graham telecast. Got an injury accident, 6th Avenue at Delaware, so watch for that problem. South on I-25 before 58, there was a hit-and-run involving an off-duty Edgewater police officer. They're still on scene. In fact, they're requesting other people head over there, so watch for that. We got also a bit of a problem at Evans and Federal. Got some police activity, so watch for that. He's met with Bono presidents and popes, and now he wants to meet where you're at. Watch Billy Graham tonight at 7 p.m. on KMGH Channel 7. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mostly sunny, a few clouds today with a high of 32. Chilly tonight, mostly clear, down to 14, and then partly cloudy. A breezy west wind on Saturday with a high near 40. For Sunday, it will be partly cloudy and windy, mainly in the morning with a high of 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 40 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Conder here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear, the best in the city, and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC Market Watch.
Markets are right near their best levels of the day. Inside the final hour of trading, Dow Industrials now up 36 points. That puts the Dow at 10,044. The S&P 500 is ahead by 3, so is the NASDAQ. Dow holding above 10,000 today, despite losses in Johnson & Johnson stock falling after J&J confessed it had been subpoenaed by federal prosecutors looking into sales and marketing of the company's epilepsy medication. J&J stock is down about a half dollar. Merck right now, essentially flat. Big jump in oil prices today as traders keep an eye on the weather forecast, concerned that supplies may not be high enough to last through a bitter cold winter in certain parts of the country. Crude futures today ran up 4% to close above $33 for the first time in a month. Natural gas futures today up 5%. And investors like stock in Halliburton despite accusations the company may have overcharged the U.S. government for fuel in Iraq. Stock right now ahead by 70 cents. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
143 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. I am yours until 3 o'clock. This is the holiday edition. A couple of things that I want to remind you of. Next week, we're going to have Sheila Lukens in. She's an editor at Parade Magazine. She has all those wonderful recipes. She had the best-selling Silver Palette cookbook. She's got a new book out on celebrations, which in time for the holiday season, I think we ought to consider. And anyway, if I can make things out of her cookbook, anybody can. Next Wednesday, put it on your calendar, 1 o'clock. Tell It to Tim, back by popular demand. Tim Brown is our CEO. He is going to take your questions, your phone calls, your comments, anything that you want to say about KNRC Radio, whether you love it, whether you hate it, how it can be better, the new lineup changes, anything that you want to comment on, you're going to be able to do that at 1 o'clock on Wednesday. And on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, if you are around, breakfast at Tiffany's exactly, said John Enslin, who's the president of the Denver Press Club, but we're hoping to at least not bore you. On Thursday, December 18 at 9 in the morning, the public is welcome to attend a breakfast on deadline, which is a regular feature at the Denver Press Club, and I'm going to be the featured speaker. Bruce Goldberg, who is of the Denver Business Journal, is going to serve as a moderator. It's going to be videotaped by Denver's Channel 8 for rebroadcast in January, possibly even in February. We are inviting all of you to attend. Anybody wants to come. If you're a member, it's $10 for the breakfast. If you're not a member, it's $12, and that's next Thursday, 9 o'clock in the morning. I can't guarantee that I'll be awake, but I'll be pretending to be awake at that time. Joining us right now, Denver Post writer Jack Cox. He is a lifestyle writer, and also with him, Linda Castrone. And if you saw the style section last Sunday, it's like, what is it? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. What was the name of that book? The question that Freud asked, what do women really want? Well, Jack and Linda attempted to answer it. What do men want as gifts? What do women want as gifts? Thank you both for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Here is, do we have some headphones for Linda? There we go. Okay, we've got to get her all suited up here. All right. What do women want as gifts? What do men want as gifts? Since they don't speak the same language to each other anyway, it's just amazing that they can find each other long enough to have a little sex once in a while, wiggle, wiggle, in the back seat of the car. It's a great mystery. What to buy a man? Let's start with you, Jack. What do men really want? Women want to know this.
Well, let me start with what men don't want. We don't want things that are cuddly or cozy or charming, the kinds of things that you find in a craft fair like one I went to yesterday where I was the only man walking around for a half an hour.
Why were you
we
there?
We don't want candles. We don't want...
Oh, you don't want scented candles either?
No, nothing with a scent. We don't, unless it's to attract deer or some kind of wild game
and that
on
would be,
a hunt.
And that would be spelled with two E's,
right.
Not tonight,
yes.
Deer. Yes.
No, I think what men want is something that makes them feel strong and capable, understood, accepted, and appreciated for
what
they do.
Well, like a tire jack? What do they want? What does this mean
they
want?
That would be one thing,
yes. Chainsaw?
A chainsaw, a set of chains.
For those home circumcisions. What do they want? What do they want?
Things that they can get in their hands as opposed to things that they can look at.
Tools?
Tools.
Even guys who are very sedentary and overweight, they want tools too, or do they want a six-pack?
I believe
or
so, because part of it is imagining what you can do with a tool and not just actually doing it. Part of the whole idea of gift-giving, I think, is to capture people's imaginations and their dreams. And putting things in a man's hand can do it much more than giving him something to look at or to listen to.
Okay, so a man, give us that again. He wants to feel capable.
Strong.
In charge, probably.
In charge, in control of his life.
You give him a little command center. What do you give him then? You give him a tool, even if he's never going to use it, like a screwdriver, a battery-operated, you know,
well, if he's a guy who doesn't know the difference between an oil filter and a can of beans, you don't give him something to work on his car. But you might, if he goes into the mountains frequently, you might give him a new pair of snowshoes, give him a GPS unit, something he can get in his hands and do things with. I've always appreciated those kinds of gifts much more than the kind that simply invite me to sit back and watch a video or something like that.
What about some of these e-gadgets, electronic gadgets that, you know, everybody gets at Christmas and then nobody can figure out how to use them, and then
I looked at
in the box?
You know, I looked at a list of those and pictures, and they're nice, but they're kind of anybody can. They're kind of an all-purpose gift. Anybody can get you one. You don't have to worry about the size. There's no personalization there at all. I would look for something more that directly touched a man's passions.
Okay, so ties are out, slippers are out, shirts are out, sweaters are out. This would not be. Men get these a lot as gifts, but these really don't turn men on particularly. Is that
right?
What you're saying?
I think you accept those and you hope that they fit and that they come in the right fabric and that they'll be returnable if you don't like the color.
What about a book?
I like books, but I was thinking about this on the way over. The trouble with books is that if they're not exactly what you want, which is perhaps a book about some hero of yours with a lot of pictures that you can look through on Christmas
action
afternoon so you don't have to read it right away. If they don't fit exactly, you tend to set them aside. I like magazines. A subscription to a magazine that would touch my passions.
Outdoor.
Would cost no more than a book and would come every month as a reminder of the person who gave it to me.
Maxim.
Well, that's a little out there, but
because a book, I regard a book as a gift certificate, because if you don't like it, you can take it back to the bookstore and get the book that you do love.
That's always great. If you haven't,
but men don't do that. Men don't take things back, do they? The same way that women.
Yeah,
do.
You'll feel like it'll offend them. That's why I go for a magazine, which is a little different every month. So even if you don't like the first issue, you might like the second.
And
I like Men's Health.
Men's Health?
That touches all kinds of interests. You don't have to worry about it fitting right or coming in the right color, and it comes every month as a reminder.
All right, a magazine.
And it appeals to anybody from about age 20 to age 50 or 60.
Linda Castrone, if you saw the live, style section of the Denver Post last week, you saw that it was a sort of a he said, she said kind of column, and you are tasked with answering the question that Freud posed quite a long time ago. What is it? What do women really want? Linda, what do women really want?
I'm speaking here for a specialized kind of woman, but I think the key is that a woman wants her heart to be touched. She wants to be heard. She wants to be seen. She wants to be aware from your gift that you know who she is and be aware that you care for her.
So that she is cherished. Jack talked about the feeling of being cherished.
And it's actually cheaper than presents. There are all kinds of ways to do that that don't involve spending lots of money. And the thing that I think most women don't want is they don't want you to spend too much money. Men tend to spend way too much money. They tend to run up a big bill on a fur coat or a diamond or, you know, a box full of teddies.
Something's wrong with that?
I'm not
saying no.
It's not wrong if he's got the walking around money to pay cash for it.
But is it sometimes that men spend too much money because they feel guilty and they can't figure out what a woman wants, so they figure they'll lard it on, and how can she feel?
Exactly.
How can she be anything but dazzled?
The punchline of that is that most times it's the woman who pays the Visa bill. So if he charges it and it's
paying for it?
it eventually for the rest of your life.
But Jack, you said they wanted to be capable. They only want to feel capable. Are they actually capable? They can't even, they're not even capable of paying the Visa bill.
That's the trouble with the credit card. You put that in a man's hands and he doesn't necessarily feel capable.
And the point is, even if it's, if even if you're not married, even if it's a boyfriend, if he has spent too much on you for something that you really didn't really care for all that much anyway, you pay a psychic price in the relationship. So who wants to have another diamond if it's going to be too expensive?
That is a very tough. I think we're going to back time on this. Okay, that is a very tough call to have your whole relationship on the shifting sands of whether or not you hit the jackpot in the right gift.
Exactly, and it's too pricey.
It is too pricey, but when someone gives you something so wildly off the mark, you have to wonder whether they have understood you at all.
However, most marketing to men is give her a diamond and look at her eyes light up. Give her a piece of gold. Give her a coat, a fur coat. Give her something with jewels on it. Give her something expensive. And my story, if you read it, tells you that there are many, many ways to touch a woman's heart that are free.
Give us some examples. Affection, listening. Listening is one of the deepest forms of love, really paying attention to somebody.
Watch.
But men have perfected the art of looking at you and not listening.
Watch when she's sitting alone somewhere.
Which Jack is indulging in this very second.
Watch when she's sitting alone somewhere. It happens at every Christmas party. It happens at every New Year's party. She's sitting, not knowing or speaking to anyone. Go sit down beside her and ask her what she's thinking. Tell her that you have had a dream last night. You'd like to share it with her. Tell her that scarf she's wearing looks wonderful with her long, thin neck. Buy her something small that tells her you know enough about her to know that she always wears blue. Give her a blue flower to put on her coat.
But I think a lot of men are not wired this way. I think they're not wired to make that gesture, and a piece of nice jewelry is never, I don't think you can ever go wrong with that.
We're talking what women want, not what they can deliver.
How would you feel about shared experience as a gift? Such as
a trip?
You buy me a raft trip, I buy you a night at the ballet.
It depends on if she likes ballet. If she loves ballet, it's a wonderful gift.
Right.
If she loves to read obscure novels or watch foreign films, rent a foreign film.
What you're saying is what the couples ought to be doing is observing each other so closely that you have a sense of what they really would, what the partner would really like to have.
And usually it's much cheaper than what the department stores are trying to sell you.
My guests, if you're just tuning in, are Denver Post writers Jack Cox and Linda Castrone, lifestyle writers. They had a piece in the sales section last Sunday talking about what do women want, what do men want. So your advice to men, Linda, is it 54? Is that what you were telling me, Joe? Yeah, okay. Your advice is to women, or to men, is pay attention to what you want. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be... A woman wants to feel like she's known, that you know her in some way. So it means paying attention. And flowers are always wonderful. I mean, there are some generic gifts that you can't go wrong with if you somehow have drawn a blank. Do you not agree?
There's different kind of women we're talking about, too. If it's your secretary or if it's somebody that you live next door to, get a generic present. If it's the person you're in love with, you better damn well know who they are enough that you can pick one little present.
Uh-oh, or this could be curtains. Jack, do men feel this way, that if you somehow have not exactly guessed right, that it's not a good, you know, that it's...
I don't think I'd feel unappreciated. I'd just feel misunderstood.
Good point.
But, you know, I think that's... All right, I think that works for both sexes. I think when the gift is so wrong, you do feel like you're not understood, and then you begin to question the relationship. Thank you so much for joining us, Jack Cox, Linda Castrone, writers for the style section, or lifestyle writers at the Denver Post. I've appreciated the dialogue back and forth. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. Uh-huh. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. The Children's Hospital Disabled Sports Program and Comedy Works are teaming up to bring you Hope for the Holidays, a benefit of comedic proportion, on Monday, December 15. You'll see 15 of Denver's national touring headliners for only $15, and all proceeds benefit Children's Hospital. Tickets for 15 headliners for $15 on December 15th. On sale now by calling Comedy Works at 303-595-3637.
Bonnie Bray Flowers has the perfect holiday centerpiece for hostess gifts and entertaining. Think Bonnie Bray for all your floral needs. Order now. Avoid the last-minute rush. Call 303-744-1091.
Are you stumped on what to buy that special someone for the holidays this year? Your special someone could meet Her Majesty Queen Noor of Jordan, retired General Tommy Franks, and business advocate Steve Forbes. Tickets are on sale now at www.distinguishedlectureseries.com and make a unique holiday gift. Series tickets start at only $50 and are available at distinguishedlectureseries.com. The KeyBank Denver Lecture Series is a program of junior achievement and sponsored by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up those shoes of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bells.
159, one more minute left in this hour. It's a fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. Coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. One more hour coming right up. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by Rocky Mountain News food critic Marty Midas. We're also going to be talking to Lori Knudsen from Avid Golfer Magazine. She's a restaurant reviewer, food reviewer, and the senior editor from 5280, Rebecca Landwehr, to discuss great restaurants for holiday dining. All of that right here on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 38 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sears. Denver police are on the hunt for a man who unsuccessfully tried to rob the Cash Express check cashing service on East Colfax last night. The man walked in, placed a package on the counter, then left without saying anything. Moments later, the suspect phoned the Cash Express demanding cash. The teller told the man she had already hit the panic alarm and that police were on the way. Denver Police Detective Teresa Garcia said the attempted robbery caused quite a bit of commotion while the police made the determination that the device left behind by the suspect was nothing but a fake bomb.
The business, as well as the surrounding businesses, were evacuated, as well as traffic both eastbound and westbound on Colfax for approximately from Vine to York University was shut down for approximately an hour and a half.
The man never got the cash he came for. However, DPD still wants to find him. He's described as black, 6 feet tall, 210 pounds, in his 20s, clean-shaven, and was wearing a black hooded sweatshirt and wearing thick glasses. A broken sprinkler at an assisted living center at 999 East First in Broomfield has caused the evacuation of one wing of the center. North Metro Fire reports that the sprinkler break is affecting three floors of the building. It's not known at this time how many residents were evacuated or how long they will be displaced. A police officer from Westminster has quit his job. Officer Carl Shirk was cleared of criminal charges by Denver's DA in a shooting that happened in Denver in September. Shirk shot and killed a man who was allegedly breaking breaking into houses. He confronted the man, who he says came at him with a piece of wood. The officer was in another fatal shooting earlier in the year and was also cleared in that case. Shirk's resignation comes just one day after the Denver DA's review of the case cleared him. Colorado's Mile High Red Cross has to reorganize to cut costs. Since donations are down and the budget is in the red, the moves include 5 layoffs, 7 vacant jobs that will go unfilled, and a 12% cut in expenses, an efficiency review, and cutting 4 branch offices down to 2. Sarah Spaulding, a spokeswoman for the Mile High chapter of the Red Cross, explains the need for the January 1st layoffs.
We're experiencing, as are many not-for-profits across the country, decreased giving because of the economy. So our contributions are down about 14%. However, there's been an increased need in our community for our services.
January 1st, the Adams County Red Cross will move in with the staff in Boulder. The Denver and Aurora branches will consolidate in Aurora. Halliburton says it will cooperate with all government investigations into allegations that it overcharged the government in contracts related to the rebuilding of Iraq. The Pentagon says the oil services company overcharged by more than $120 million for fuel deliveries and meal services in Iraq. The fuel deliveries contract was awarded without competition in March to Halliburton. Halliburton was previously run by Vice President Dick Cheney before he joined the administration. President Bush told reporters today that if there was an overcharge, he expects the money to be repaid. The flu outbreak is prompting one of the nation's largest insurance carriers to cover a new vaccine. Aetna says it will cover the nasal spray flu mist. Company spokesman Walter Cherniak says Aetna wants to give its customers peace of mind.
Given the situation the country is facing with the flu outbreaks and the very high demand for vaccines, it's the right thing to do.
After the flu season passes, Cherniak says the company will probably stop covering the spray. A dose of flu mist normally costs 2 to 3 times more than a traditional flu shot. Aetna hopes customers will opt for the nasal spray, freeing up supplies of the injectable vaccine. The flu has officially hit all 50 states and is widespread in almost half of them, including Colorado. New evidence is being released in the case of missing college student Drew Shadeen. Search warrants served on a suspected kidnapper found 2 strands of light hair, latex gloves, and clothes that Alfonso Rodriguez Jr. was believed to be wearing the day that Shadeen went missing. Police also say they believe they found blood on the floor of Rodriguez's garage. At last check, the numbers still mixed on Wall Street. The Dow is up more than 41 points, above 10,000, now at 10,049. The NASDAQ is up about 5 points, and the S&P 500 is up about 2 points this afternoon. In sports, the Denver Nuggets still on the road tonight, and they'll be playing the 76ers in Philadelphia. Tomorrow night, the Nuggets hit the Big Apple to take on the Knicks. Come into Sears this holiday season to find gifts for everyone on your list. Don't just give a gift. Give the good life. Sears, good life. Life, great price. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Avalon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Avalon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get an Avalon. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by your South Central Marriott Hotels and Resorts. Just a very busy drive out there. Got a stall northbound I-25 at Yale. Accident in Hampton and Monaco. Another injury accident southbound I-25 at Dry Creek. Watch for fire rescue and state patrol on the scene there. It's the perfect time to take a break, whether you're planning for the holidays or a weekend getaway. Marriott has great rates from just $59. Visit southcentral.marriott.com for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A few clouds but lots of sun for us this afternoon. The high should be around 32. We have a pretty good warm-up into the weekend expected for tonight, mostly clear down to 14. And then a breezy west wind for Saturday with partly cloudy skies and a high near 40. For Sunday, partly cloudy and really windy, mainly in the morning with a high of 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 35 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. This is the holiday edition of our Press Club broadcasts. We're having a lot of fun. We've had a number of people in and joining us right now. Three dishes to dish about what dishes you can make for the holiday. Marty Midas, who is the food editor for the Rocky Mountain News. And also we're joined by Lori Mitzen, who is the restaurant critic, dining editor from Colorado Avid Golfer, and senior editor from magazine 5280, Rebecca Landwehr. Thank you all three for joining us today. I want to talk about 5280, where you kicked the butt of some of the restaurants. Talk to me about that, Rebecca.
Well, kicking the butt sometimes gets misunderstood. We really are trying to find the restaurants who we've liked in the past, who've done good things, who are slipping. So it's not necessarily a way for us to pick on restaurants who are just awful, but really to sort of nudge the restaurants who should be doing a good job into doing a better job.
But would you really take on a big-name restaurateur and somebody who was an advertiser? Would you do that or not?
Oh, sure, we have. In fact, when Lori was our dining critic, we gave a kick in the butt to Mel. And
Mel, the first time I ever ate there, the bread was stale, and I said, this is stale bread. And the waiter, who had the most delicious French accent, said, but at this altitude, this is what the bread is like. And I said, stale bread is stale bread. And James Beard once said, if you walk into a restaurant and the bread is stale, walk right out before you order anything.
Well, I mean, there are restaurateurs who get it, and there are restaurateurs who don't.
And this is Lori Mitzen, who is the restaurant critic, dining editor for California Avid Golfer. Yes, Lori?
I mean, Mel is actually one of those people who took it really seriously. I mean, there's so many restaurateurs and so many chefs who will look at the kick in the butt category, and overrated for that matter as well, and just sort of, you know, push it aside and not do anything about it. Mel was actually one of those people that really took it seriously and made a lot of changes. And I think in the next year, I actually put Mel's in my top 10 list.
You did.
So, I mean, we all give people second chances.
I also think it's a sign of a good restaurateur if they take it seriously and don't get upset because you're doing them a favor.
Right.
Basically. And I've had that reaction from people when John Lendorf, who's the Rocky Mountain News,
right,
food critic. You know,
this is Marty Midas, who is the food editor for the Rocky Mountain News.
And when he's, you know, given a bad review to people, one in particular comes to mind, and I was talking to that person. He said, no, that's a wake-up call for me, and that's a great thing.
Oh, he gave a bad review to the Palm. He really gave him, like, I think a D.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's a power spot, but nobody, except for the lobster bisque, I don't know why anybody would go there, except to meet other powerful people.
The Gigi salad, it's a reason to go there. But I'll tell you something.
They're double-cut lamb chops.
A funny story from this year's kick in the butt is we have a team of restaurant critics who worked on this year's list, and one of our critics, who I'm probably going to leave her name out of this story in case she's listening, but she happened to be set up on a blind date with a local restaurateur, and she knew some of the restaurants he owned, and they sit down, they meet for their blind date, and he asks what she does, and she says she reviews restaurants for 5280, and he just about blew his stack. He, it turns out, was the owner of High Tide Restaurant, who she had given a kick in the butt to, so he was not happy to be on that love match.
Oh, and I don't think this is a match made in heaven. What was that, like a two-second
date? Yeah.
I think they put it aside, and the date went on, but I'm not seeing wedding bells in the future for those two.
All right, do the restaurants have pictures of you guys? Do they know when you're coming in, or can they tell when you're there?
Well, I'm not one of the critics, so for us, our restaurant critics are pretty low profile right now, and, you know, it's funny because Denver's a small town, so I think all the critics in town.
Lori, everybody knows you, Lori.
Well, I've been doing this for almost 5 years, and prior to 5280, I worked at Sambuca Jazz Cafe as their PR director. And then prior to that, I was the PR director for the Colorado Restaurant Association.
You don't go in wigs or...
You know what? I actually did. I can't tell you what color my hair is now because that would be giving something away. But I've had it...
It's magenta with streaks of blue.
She's lying. I've had it a couple of different colors over the past year and a half. You know, I do my best to be anonymous. Yes, there are people who know who I am. But like I said, I've been in the restaurant business for almost 8 or 9 years. And as Rebecca said, Denver's a small town. If people want to find out who you are, they're going to find out who you are.
John maintains that even if when they know who you are, there isn't that much they can do in the kitchen to sell
it. There's not. Here's my thing. You know what? You can garnish a plate. You can stick the best server on me, but I'm pretty wise to that. But a chef cannot become a better chef simply because I'm there.
Marty, talk to me about high-altitude cooking. What does it take? I mean, you have people who are as... I always like to say, I have a palate so illiterate it moves its lips when it's reading a menu. A friend of mine, Marion Cunningham, who writes the Fannie Farmer cookbooks and has a new book out called Lost Recipes, she talked about a TV producer friend of hers. This is a true story. And he was trying to learn how to cook, and he's looking in the cookbook, and he's trying to make a salad, and it says toss the lettuce. So he washes the lettuce, and he dries it, and then he tosses it from one end of the room to the other because he thinks that aerating it will somehow... So, I mean, it's hopeless for some of us. Talk to me about... And I had her on one day, and people were asking her about high-altitude cooking, and the only thing I know about it... And I don't think she... Because she lives in California. I don't think that was her thing. But the only thing I know is it takes longer to boil water. What else do we need to know?
Well, there's... I'm doing an issue on this for December 17th, but there are... The bad part is... the bad news is... There aren't any hard and fast rules because what people want is they want you to say, you know, I make this cake at sea level. What do I need to do? And you want to say, you want the person to say, well, just add 2 tablespoons of flour. Doesn't work like that. And the 2 tablespoons of flour thing, which most people have heard, actually is just a total myth. That came from cake mixes. And Pat Kendall of the CSU, the Extension Service, she has a new high-altitude book out, and it says, it gives you suggestions because you've got so many different issues. The main issue here is flour dries out so really fast. So, you know, your stuff's going to be dry, and that's a major problem. And then if the cake is too rich and fat,
yeah, my cookies
are dry now. Right.
My old cookie recipe doesn't work so well in Denver.
So there are things you can try, but... The idea that you're going to bring grandma's favorite recipe from, you know, back east and make it here may or may not happen. And the first thing you need to do is try the recipe and see if it works. Cakes are notoriously a problem. Candy making is a huge problem.
What about soufflés?
Soufflés are not, you know, they're going to sink eventually, but but that would probably happen anyway.
I know. I haven't been able to make
it. They need Viagra for soufflés is the story here. All right, here we are, the holiday season, the thick of it. What about entertaining? Any tips about entertaining? Any tips about being a guest when someone else is entertaining? What's a quick and easy thing to do? Everybody is so stressed out. And I think when you think about entertaining people and you're not so, for example, me, I don't feel very confident. I say I cook, but not in the kitchen. So my skills. Skills in the kitchen. I do okay, but I'm not a confident cook. So what do you say to people who would like to have people in, but they don't want to just go make a deli run and have it all brought in? What do you suggest?
There are two things I always tell people. One is don't try a menu that you've never tried before in company because that is so stressful. And the other thing that I do a lot of times is I will introduce a new dish to company, but I introduce it by saying, well, I'm trying this recipe, so what do you think? And
yeah, that but way, you're a food editor.
I mean, if you say that, well, I found this in a magazine or I found this in a newspaper, what do you think? Then the pressure's off of you. You know, they can say, oh, it's not that good, and then you don't have to feel horrible as a cook. But... That I would only do that with one dish. I would only introduce one new dish because it's stressful enough.
Rebecca, have you got an idea about how to entertain
the
holidays if you're not the world's most competent cook?
Well, we actually went out of our way and are in the kitchen section of our December-January issue to do party food that's easy. So we have things in there like there's a great cooked nut recipe. We've got some really interesting sort of biscuit things that you can do. So... We were looking at people who are going to be entertaining.
Cooked nuts?
Yeah, you know, you cook them up. They're spiced nuts. I don't know. When I go to a party, I zone in on them with the cinnamon and the spices. And so we were looking at people who are going to be busy, who wanted to entertain, but weren't going to be doing the full-scale dinner party. And I actually am a terrible cook. And I found these recipes are yummy and pretty foolproof.
pretty foolproof?
Yeah, the biscuit recipe turned out really well.
Lori, you are spend a lot of time in restaurants. What about entertaining? Do you much in the way of entertaining?
Well, I cook, and I'm a good cook, but I don't cook nearly as much as I would like to because I'm out to eat all the time. Sort of what Marty was saying, I mean, the worst thing that you can do when you have people over is try a brand new menu, as much as, you know, you sort of want to. And secondly, do as much as you can beforehand. I mean, preparation is everything. I mean, if you can get, you know, your sauces done, whatever else you need to do a couple days before, even a week before, 2 weeks before, and freeze it, by the time Christmas comes around or Hanukkah, you've got everything that you really need prepared, and you just have to do, like, the little details at the end, setting the table and all the rest of it. But do as much as you possibly can.
There are some things that you could do, like smoked salmon and stuff like that you don't actually have to prepare. But if you're somebody who's on a budget and smoked salmon, unless you can actually get it in place. I don't know about Sam's Clubs, but I think you can get it at Costco, and it's pretty reasonable there. But if it's too pricey for your budget, what kinds of things can you do if you don't have a lot of time and you don't have a lot of money? Is that too much to ask?
Well, I always like brisket. I like turkey. Brisket I like because you can make it the day ahead. Then you want to cool it and slice it, and then you just heat it up. And brisket is not all that pricey. It'll feed a lot of people.
I never made a brisket or a turkey in my life, so it would be too daunting for me. Seriously, I mean, you're talking to a real dope here.
It's true, though. I mean, brisket, ham, turkey, I mean, you're talking about something that feeds a lot of people.
What about a lot of heavy hors d'oeuvres, just a grazing? People can come in and graze.
People
it's
do
kind
that.
Of fun.
Absolutely.
Shrimp, you can buy shrimp. And
sure, and you mentioned Costco. I mean, go to Costco and get a big thing of their spinach dip. It's, you know, $9.
They have
fantastic.
A very decent pesto. I make homemade pesto, and I use the Marcella Hazan recipe. It almost tastes like the Marcella Hazan recipe, and it's so much less expensive in terms of time and cost than anything I can make.
And you'll enjoy the fact that Costco has a new cookbook out called Cooking the Costco Way.
Well, let's talk about cookbooks, because there was a woman in town, and she's now the new star of the Food Network, or rising star anyway. I think her name's Sandra Lee.
That is her name.
And her books are semi-homemade something, and she uses all this junk, like Velveeta, you know, prepared.
But I will tell you, I didn't
have her on because I thought, even me, I cannot have her on. She makes it sound like it's really easy. She's gorgeous, so she's a good brand. She's a good ambulatory brand, and they're calling her a successor to Martha Stewart.
Well, I think one thing she said to me when she was here was true. People use Velveeta. People use Cheese Whiz.
Oh,
what are you going to do,
like
ignore
substance.
It? Well,
it laid near a cheese.
Here's
one.
The point. How many boxes of Kraft mac and cheese do you think they sell every day? Every day. Guess.
All right.
I had this in one of my columns.
Millions, millions, millions.
They sell a million boxes a day.
Of
a
Kraft
million
mac
boxes
and cheese?
Of Kraft mac and cheese.
All right, I do have a confession. I actually love a grilled cheese sandwich with Velveeta and Campbell's tomato soup. If I'm home, I know. I hate to admit that, but it's true. I mean, people sort of think as a restaurant critic, all you want to do is go out and eat fancy
it's
meals.
It's not true. You
and
really
it's not
want
true.
Comfort food sometimes.
You know what? I like, as much as I love, you know, sort of, as much as I love foie gras, I equally love a really good grilled cheese sandwich and tomato soup. And here I'm not talking about Campbell's and Velveeta, but
some of it is the way is what you had when you were growing up,
sure.
too. And Marion Cunningham always talks about comfort food. And a lot of chefs, when their day's off, make very comfy home.
Just Velveeta melts so well.
Well, and plus, growing up in the 50s, when I was growing up in the 50s, you know, that's all we had. We had tomato soup and tuna fish every Sunday. So
there's a recipe that you see at Christmas, and it has to do with those French fried onion rings, Durkee's French fried onion rings. What else is
the
in there? Mushroom
casserole.
Campbell's.
Casserole.
Yeah, with Campbell's soup. I made it once.
You know that when we made that for the first time in college, that was a revelation to me. I thought, oh, this is wonderful, and I had no idea that that was a classic recipe that people make today more than they made it back in the 60s.
It was inedible. I did something wrong as usual.
All those retro dishes back in vogue.
Totally.
That's true. I was once working in Chicago. It was a summer job. It was the day before payday, and I had no money. And so I couldn't go out to eat, and so there was a can of tuna fish, so I opened it up and ate it right out of the can because I did not know how to make tuna fish salad. I can now confess this because now I know how to make tuna fish salad. But then it was beyond me to add a little mayo and whatever else that you put in there.
Right. Well, and I always tell this story when my daughter, who's now in college, was like four, and being a food editor, I thought, okay, I'm going to make mac and cheese from scratch, you know, and it took me forever. I mean, I went to all this trouble and time and expense, and my daughter took one look at it, and she said, ew. And I thought, well, it's not Day Glow Orange. Of course she's not going to eat it. So I had spent all this time and energy, and I just went ahead, just opened the box of Kraft, end of story.
But
and
I'll
never
tell
did
you,
it again.
You know, Kraft is fine. It has its time and place. But right now, you don't have to lift a finger. The macaroni and cheese at Whole Foods is fantastic. I don't know if you guys have tried it yet, but it is better than homemade. It's absolutely, if you're out going, rushing around, it's the holidays, you're shopping, and you need to grab something, go to Whole Foods and pick that up. It's better. It's better than noodles. It's better than Kraft.
I'll tell you where
it's
else.
Fantastic.
I'll tell you where else it's good. I had to, at Thanksgiving dinner, I was, my job, I was assigned to bring the sweet potatoes, which I've never made in my life, well, with marshmallows on top. And I didn't know what to do, and I didn't have any time, so I went to Marzick's. And Marzick's had a fabulous sweet potato, but I got what was left, and it wasn't enough. So I had to augment it. And I just sat around, and I concocted. I looked at a lot of recipe books. I saw what the structure was, what you had to do. And then I just did it. I did it the way, and I kept adding things, and things that didn't look like they were going to work together, and it worked out. I hardly had any left to take home. It went. I mean, people liked it. So I was so amazed. It helped self-confidence.
Well, and I think Rebecca's onto something, because now you can walk into any supermarket in the country.
But see, Marion's thesis about that is that we're all treating our homes like motels. Everybody's eating takeout. And that when you don't make dinner for yourself, when you don't cook for yourself, you've lost a basic... essence of nurture, of self-nurture. What do you say about that?
I mean, home replacement is so, so popular. I mean, people right now, I think, are all about saving as much time as they possibly can. And it's so easy to go to the store and just grab something. It's so easy to get takeout.
But don't you lose something when you do that? I mean, sometimes
Absolutely.
It's fine. Sure,
no,
it's okay. But
people,
to do it regularly and never do any cooking for yourself.
But there are a lot of people
something?
Who don't like to cook. I mean, for me, the kitchen is my expressive outlet. I love being in the kitchen, but there are an awful lot of people out there whose days are just so busy that an hour in the kitchen is just not how they want to spend their time.
A lot of men love to cook. They find it as a real, a real
but
creative.
But he's good at dishes.
Well, hey, you know,
good shopper.
There's 7 days a week, so nobody is getting takeout every night. Even Lori's not going out to dinner every night, and nobody's cooking every night of the week. So I think that right now, that even though people are going and they're picking up things from Whole Foods or Marzick's, that I don't think home cooking is totally lost.
I mean, I think a lot of what's happening is somebody will go to Whole Foods or go to Marzick's, and they'll get the turkey, they'll get their ham, they'll go home and they'll make a salad. They'll go home
make the side dishes.
And make a side dish rather
or
than
they
doing
enhance,
the whole ball of wax.
They might enhance something that they bought. Also.
Yes. You know, I mean, people gussy at food. I gussy at food all the time. I mean, I'll buy something and it's sort of okay the way it is, but I'll add this to it or I'll add that to it to sort of make it
personal.
Not my own, because I would never want to do that, but... You know what I'm saying? Just
well, and I think there's
doctor it up.
I mean, just because the supermarket made it, like the rotisserie chickens, doesn't
sure.
make it a bad thing. It makes it a good thing. And you can use those cooked chickens in a lot of different ways.
Hey, Julia right. Childs, one of her favorite dishes is to go to Costco and get the
and
hot dog.
Get the hot dog.
Sure. Have you girls ever seen the line of books by Cynthia Rowley, Swell?
No.
It's a girl's guide to it's fantastic. You guys would love them. But she's got a whole section on how to take supermarket foods and make it better. Whether you buy a cheesecake, but then cook the blueberries to put on top of it.
put it in your own put it in your Corningware and then put some foil on top of it. People think that it was yours. Thank you so much, all three of you, for joining us today. Marty Midas, who is the food editor for the Rocky Mountain News. Lori Mitson, who is the restaurant critic and dining editor, Colorado Avid Golfer Magazine, and senior editor from 5280 Magazine. Rebecca Landwehr. Thank you, all three of you.
Thanks.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
Too.
Happy holidays. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
Some people prefer the right wing. Some prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food,
home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the Buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
Just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Talk to Greg Dobbs.
Illegal immigration does hurt lots of people. The longer they stay, the more it's going to be like those two boys that were highlighted in the paper over the weekend.
They were brought across as very little boys when they had no choice. They have been sent to start a new life in Mexico. They don't even read Spanish.
You want to pick and choose the laws you obey. You are despicable and dishonest and a differential enforcer of the law.
Hold on, I got to write those things down so that I can put them on my Christmas card.
Greg Dobbs, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1150. KNRC.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:28 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and I'm coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month, and the theme of this show is it's our holiday edition, really. And so, who would be joining us? Who would that be? But another Santa. This is Saint A. Claus, otherwise known as Ms. Sterious. Have I got that right?
Ms. Sterious.
Thank you for joining us today. Talking about SantaCon. What is SantaCon?
SantaCon is the convention of store mall Santas. It is an activity that is held around the world at this point during the holiday season. It began in San Francisco with a Santa Rampage. It was
a Santa Rampage?
A Santa Rampage, sometimes thought of as Sanarchy with 94.
We just had a silent Santa in a while ago who does signing for deaf kids, and he does it at Cherry Creek Mall and other places. So he was here. Is he part of your group?
He is not part of the group.
Are you doing street theater, Santa? Santa Claus?
That is one way to look at it. I think I was talking to you in the break about the Cacophony Society. It's an adventure through the International Cacophony Society. Again, all of that started in San Francisco. And it is our way of celebrating the holidays. And we do that by using the icon that we find to be the most objectionable, which is, of course, Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. So you get dressed up as Santa?
We all dress like Santa.
And then what do you do? Where do you go?
We just, you know, it's funny. You don't have to do much. You know, really, because I often come out of the woodwork year-round, and when it is only St. A. Claus alone and not a mob of Santas, I still get a look, a laugh, a smile.
But a whole mob of Santas will congregate. Where? Anywhere?
Anywhere. Okay. I mean,
it's like a raid. A rage is, you know, it's something like a...
Well, the truth is, we just do what we do normally.
A rave. It's like a rave.
No.
No.
No, no.
Okay.
That's an evil, bad word.
Okay.
It's an evil, bad word in a number of reasons.
All right, but wait a minute. All these Santas, they gather together,
and we go do things. We go have fun around the city, dressed as Santa. We give out toys. We smile. We sing carols. It's really not difficult. But the fact that there is a group of us, and they're men, they're women, they're black, they're white, they're tall, they're short, they're gay, they're straight. And of course, you know, also,
do you do this appear at hospitals? Can you do that? Have you ever done that? So that, you know, helping with the kids who are...
No, we've never appeared at hospitals. We appear more in restaurants and bars and places where you're not used to seeing Santa.
So Santa comes up, you're at a pricey restaurant, and you're about to digest something that's three times what, you know, that you thought you were going to pay for it.
Right.
And then in comes a gaggle of Santas doing what?
Spreading cheer, singing carols, drinking your drinks, asking if you've been naughty or nice, giving you toys appropriate to your behavior during that year, and just having a good time.
Where'd you get this idea?
It really wasn't my idea. It came from the Cacophony Society in San Francisco. The original idea came from an ad in, I think it was the San Francisco Weekly or the Westword. I mean, not the Westword, but the Bay Guardian. It was a advertisement for the Kris Kringle Institute. You learn to be Santa. And that is an institution that actually does exist.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that like a Santa school?
It's a Santa school. And so a couple of cacophonists were sitting around going, okay, what happens when Santa graduates? And from there, they created an event. And people got together. They found a source for really cheap Santa suits.
What is this? Where do you get a Santa suit, and how much do they cost?
Well, you know, it's funny. The cheapest one that I've been able to find is at Walmart.
Walmart has Santa suits?
Yes, they're in a box,
sure.
And they come with instructions.
Yeah, with the blood on it from third world countries.
Probably.
Of non-unionized, but you couldn't see because red is red, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But it's like, it's been the same price for a number of years now.
How much is the Santa suit?
$27.65.
What do you learn in Santa school? Have you ever enrolled in Santa school?
I've actually never been.
But besides having to pass a drug test, what else you learn in Santa school?
You probably learn. I would assume they would have to learn patience and how do you deal with a child throwing up on you or peeing on you or slapping you in the face. How do you deal with a kid who is crying nonstop?
But you're mostly dealing with adults.
We're dealing with adults. We're bringing the merriment to the adults because they're really children. They're just really tall children.
Well, that part is true. Mysterious, when you're not being a Santa Claus, what do you do?
I have a regular job.
Yeah.
I was a student for a number of years.
Way beyond, above and beyond the call of studentdom?
Pretty much.
Yes.
And you're an artist.
So your mission really is to parody the material aspects of Christmas?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you see as being the worst excesses of Christmas, other than the pressure to buy, which is supposed to be a spiritual time of the year, but it's
exactly.
highly materialistic?
Well, what's funny to me, and I brought this little book because it's one of my favorites. It was written by a Christian minister or pastor, and it's called Is Christmas Christian? And his answer is no, it is not. In fact, it isn't. The whole holiday season is this
frenzy.
Is this frenzy, but it was really based on, you know, pagan rituals and bacchanals and the Babylonian rites during
the
solstice.
It was a sacred time of year for many, many pre-religious cultures. And the religions kind of co-opted it. Judaism did, you know, for Hanukkah. Christianity did it for Christmas. So I find it
interesting because of these polar opposites. This idea that Christmas time is Christian is just hysterical to me because it's.
But
not.
isn't it spiritual? Whatever your religion is, or isn't it the potential for being spiritual if you can stop shopping long enough to appreciate the moment?
Yes, and maybe you know, and that's part of our. There are many different parts of the Cacophony Society. Some people are much more serious and more sort of socio-political, and that would be me. And there are a lot more that are just into it for the free spirit and the fun. So
when you're doing your street theater, you're into it for the free spirit and the fun, but also you're trying to make a point. And the point you're trying to make is?
That these icons, that these images, that these rituals are, at this point... fallacy, that's complete fiction, that they did come from something, and maybe you should know what those things are before you take them on as sacred cows. I mean, if you read St. Nicholas, a real person, a Greek priest, I want to say 8th or 9th century, Roman Catholic, he is the patron saint of children, he did perform miracles, but Santa Claus as we know him today, that's Coca-Cola happening. That's nothing but illustration. And
a deep-seated yearning, I think, for all of us who revert to childhood around this time of year, for a great father figure that slides down the chimney and brings you whatever you want and exudes a kind of warmth that's unceasing. Santa Claus, thank you for joining us today, Mysterious. I'm Mysterious. Thank you for being part of a gaggle of Santas who, if we were in the street and all of you were coming at us, it would be kind of a wonderful moment.
I hope so. That's my wish.
Thank you. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club, AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 33 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by XL Energy. One wing of an assisted living center in Broomfield was evacuated this afternoon because of a broken sprinkler. North Metro Fire says three floors of the building are affected by the sprinkler break. It's not known at this point how many residents have been displaced or how long that evacuation will last. Staff members of Denver's Human Services Department are interviewing residents who live near the Human Services Building at 1200 Federal. They're looking for input from the residents about a proposal to use the Human Services Building as a temporary shelter for the homeless. Charges have been filed against two women in the murder of a Lakewood attorney, and now the women will be going to trial. Terry Ann Martinez and Linda Garcia Aguilar are two of four people charged with first-degree murder, burglary, robbery, and felony theft in the September murder of Thomas J. Roberts. In sports, the Denver Nuggets will be in Philly tonight to play the 76ers. Their road trip continues tomorrow when they head into New York to take on the Knicks. In winter, you use more energy, in spring less. Balance out your energy bills with an average monthly payment from XL Energy. Call 1-800-895-4999. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why for this holiday season, we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot's, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with seven great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavie, and White House Black Market.
He will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that. For the holidays, Aspen Grove has free carriage rides. Have the whole family sign up for the gift registry. Make sure everyone gets what they really want.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
KNRC News Time is 2:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Electronics Boutique. Got an unknown injury accident, Montview and Emporia. Injury accident southbound I-25 at Dry Creek. Got the right lane blocked. Northbound I-25 before Yale. Got a bit of a stall there, so watch for some slowing. Here's a holiday tip from EB Games. Trade in your used video games for huge discounts on all the hottest new releases. Only at EB Games and Electronics Boutique, where we take games seriously. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Lots of sun, a few clouds for us this afternoon. The high will be 32. Tonight, mostly clear down to 14. And then Saturday will be partly cloudy with a breezy west wind, and those downsloping winds will look for a high warmer at 40 degrees. Again, it is going to be windy on Sunday, especially in the morning hours. Otherwise, partly cloudy all the way up to 52. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 33 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This holiday season, why not invest in a gift for yourself and your family? Something that will give you safety, comfort, and beauty, all while bringing you savings. I'm talking about doors. The entrance to your house provides security to your family while being the first impression of your home. Don't compromise these while contributing to high utility costs with old doors that let cold air in and warm air out. Call Colorado Door Connection at 303-425-3366 for a free estimate today. And as a gift to you this holiday season, you'll receive a free storm door up to a $200 value when you purchase any entry system with installation valued at $1,200 or more. Colorado Door Connection. Visit their showroom at 9710 West 50th Avenue, just off I-70 at Kipling, or call 303-425-3366 today. Here's wishing you and yours a very happy, safe, and warm holiday season.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes extended yesterday's rally. The gains came despite reports showing an unexpected drop in wholesale prices, a drop in consumer confidence, and the trade deficit growing to nearly $42 billion in October. Let's check those numbers now. The Dow Industrials up 34 points to 10,042. The NASDAQ rose 7 points to 1949. The S&P 500 added 3 points to 1,074. Big board volume was about 1.2 billion shares. Advancers beat decliners by a nearly 2-to-1 margin. United Technologies provided the Dow's biggest push. It hit a new 52-week high, closed up $2.33 after a Prudential upgrade. Prudential cited United Tech's faster-than-expected shift from restructuring to a growth company. And GM hit a new 52-week high before driving 86 cents higher. The automaker says its worker pension plans will be nearly funded by the end of the year. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:42 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. It's the holiday edition of our Press Club shows. We do them once a month. And I want to remind you that if you're free next Thursday, 9 o'clock in the morning, there's a breakfast on deadline breakfast at the Denver Press Club. And I'm going to be the featured speaker. Bruce Goldberg of the Denver Business Journal is going to serve as the moderator. Channel 8 will be taping it for a broadcast in January, possibly even February. The cost of the luncheon is $12 if you're not a member, $10 if you are. And for reservations, call 303-571-5260, 303-571-5260. Remember, next Wednesday, 1 o'clock, tell it to Tim. You can tell him whatever you want about the radio station. And he, brave man, will be sitting there taking your flowers and your criticisms and your compliments and whatever else you have, observations, whatever else you have to offer. Joining me right for this segment right now is Raul, a member of Traffic Jam. And Traffic Jam, tell me about Traffic Jam. It's a group, and they're going to play, you guys are going to play here tonight at the Press Club for the New Year's Eve party.
That's right. We're in for the New Year's Eve party. We'll be starting about 9 o'clock, and that's after a great dinner from Daniel Young. He's putting together a 5-course meal for everybody here on New Year's Eve. And this is kind of neat for the Press Club because they don't open the place up to the public very often, and this is open to the public.
This will be open to the public?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, well, we're going to find out more about that. We'll be talking to John Enslin and Chef Daniel Young in just a few moments. But, Raul, tell me about Traffic Jam. You're going to be playing. What kind of music do you do?
Well, we do Motown, soul, R&B, some classic rock, and funk and disco. So it's all dance music, and we put the band together to party, so it's a great party band, and be great for New Year's Eve, everybody dance and have a great time.
How many of you in the band?
We have 7 in the band. We have a sax player and 2 keyboard players.
Is he practicing safe sax?
Safe sax, that's correct. He is a doctor. He's the doctor of sax. So,
oh, he is?
Yeah,
so a saxologist?
He's a saxologist. Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Yeah. I have a friend who's a cardiologist, really, and he's in a rock and roll band. Is this a real doc?
It's a real doc.
A real doc and a a sax man.
And single.
Is he a gynecologist, too?
Practicing. Actually, I think he's an amateur gynecologist.
Oh, yeah. Well, they always are. And?
And also in the band, we have 3 great singers, so the vocals are just awesome. And
are you one of those great singers?
I'm one of those great singers.
Well, what are you going to regale us with here? Are you going to give us a holiday rendition of something? Give us a taste of Traffic Jam? Why do you call yourself Traffic Jam?
We call ourselves Traffic Jam because Train Wreck didn't sound any better, so we just left it at Traffic Jam.
How long have you been playing together?
We've been together for about 3 years.
How did you all find each other?
We met through various different groups. I was in an a cappella group called The Blenders for many years, and that's how I met one of our singers, our female singer. And then we were in the Motones together, which was a Motown band, and did a little...
Did you say Motown?
Motown.
Like a cow town?
Yeah, that sort of move. But we just sort of got together, just met each other, and have been sticking around together for a number of years. So that's pretty good.
Would you care to give us a little rendition of what you do?
Sure.
What are you going to sing for us?
How about, I know you won't leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg and plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that much to me.
Well, Raul.
This is for you, ain't it?
Looking right into my eyeballs. That's pretty
good. Absolutely.
Are you able to do your music full time?
No, we're not. It's a tough market for any musician in Colorado right now. I think there's just a handful of folks doing it full time, and everybody else has the dreaded day gig. And
what do you do? What's your day gig?
And we do what we love in the evening with the music. I'm in sales, and I run a financial business also. And then we, like I said, look forward to getting off and doing the music in the evening. So
this is your passion. Music is your love.
Absolutely.
What's your training to be a singer, musician?
You start when you're about 12 or 13, and it's a God-given thing, and it comes from the soul, and you just go for it.
Did you have any formal training?
A little bit of magical training in college, and of course, life training, doing it.
Talk to us about madrigals.
Madrigals? Who wants to talk about that?
You said madrigal training in college.
Yeah, basically you sing classical music in small groups, basically, and as you read and work together in that, you learn a lot of little things. But the real training comes on the road in front of audiences and live.
What do you learn? What does the audience teach you other than what how to put over a song, how to put over the music? You can tell when it's clicking and when it's not clicking.
Oh,
but what have you learned from audiences?
Well, the thing you learn is that if you're going to be good, you've got to touch them emotionally in some way, shape, or form. It's either with a classic old tune that they love that means something to them, or you take them into another world when you're singing to them. You know when you've got them because the reactions are there. So the real key is to sing what you love and sing it from the heart and the soul, and you can take people with you as you go. So,
how do you know when you're taking them with you? That just you can feel it.
Well, the underwear comes flying up. That happens quite often, and we've had some other crazy things go on. But basically, you can see them swaying. You can see the sparkle in their eyes. You can see them dancing like you can't believe.
I know there's no formula for the making of magic, but what do you, other than what I would say? And here I am, an outsider to what you are doing. And if you're just tuning in, by the way, my guest is Raul, a member of the group Traffic Jam. They're going to be playing at the Press Club on New Year's Eve, and you don't have to be a Press Club member, I guess, to come in and enjoy the evening and be part of the fun. Raul, I would say that to make real magic, the performer has to be really be honest. I mean, performing from some deep place inside himself or herself, not just, although I suppose there are performers who can be really manipulative and can get you going and they don't feel an ounce of what they're really doing.
Absolutely. There's two different ways to view it. It's a job or it's a passion, as is anything in life. And, you know, the reason that musicians do what they do is for the passion. There's no way you could stay in the music business if you weren't passionate about it. So when you focus on the passion and you focus on what you love, everything else just falls into place. So, I mean, that's the key.
What's the downside?
Downside is you work really hard for about 37 cents an hour.
Plus you're breathing in, although now it's better, but you're breathing in all that secondhand smoke.
Right.
And all
the smoke is very, very difficult.
If you're a singer.
Yeah, and it's beyond difficult if you're really singing. So, but again, you know, you've got to really weigh the good with the bad. I think, you know, the pay, the smoke. Some of the environments are a little harsh, but you love what you do. So
you do what you love, and there's no price you can put on it. Raul, thank you so much for joining us today. Raul of the group Traffic Jam. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
Greg Dobbs, named Best Radio Talk Show Host by Westword, AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Avalon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Avalon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get an Avalon. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
This Saturday at Sears from 7 to 10 a.m., save an extra 10% throughout the store, even on sale prices. With great savings on TVs, DVD players, and digital cameras, now is the time to upgrade your home electronics. And with Craftsman Tools on sale, help him build the ultimate workshop. Plus, save on cozy sweaters and sleepwear for the family. And if a little sparkle is on her list, find all fine jewelry on sale. It's the Saturday early open sale. Shop early and give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale date 12/13.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Bill Thorpe, and I'm going to let you know about Faith Evangelical Church of Fort Collins because they're going to present A Time for Christmas with a live orchestra at 7 p.m. on December 18th and 19th. This Broadway-style musical tells the story of a man too busy for Christmas and his encounter with the mysterious stranger who reveals the spirit in the hearts of Christmases past. Reserve seating tickets are free and available at faithefc.org or 970-226-2095.
Come into Sears this holiday season to find gifts for everyone on your list. Don't just give a gift, give the good life. Sears, good life, great price.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:52 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. It's the holiday edition, and of course no broadcast is complete without having John Enslin on, who's the president of the Denver Press Club, and also puts together these wonderful, he always puts together these wonderful shows that emanate from the Denver Press Club. My monthly shows will be doing more next year, I hope. And John Enslin, tell us what's coming up for New Year's. And also tonight is the Press Club holiday party.
Exactly.
I'm going to come back.
Good. That's for that party's for members and their guests.
Members only. And tonight also the book sale starts. You have to be a member to come tonight.
Exactly.
But you can come tomorrow if you're not a member. So tell us the details.
We've got great books from both the Post and the News. We've got a lot of reviewer copies and new and used books for sale.
And I have some books and I forgot to bring them over, but I'll bring them with me when
I come
back.
Good. There's still tomorrow's sale.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay.
In fact, I mean, from the public's point of view, tomorrow's a great stocking stuffer day. It's a good way to round out your Christmas list. There's a really eclectic collection of books up there.
How much are they?
I believe we raised the price by a quarter this year. They're 2.25 for hardcovers and a dollar cover for paper.
Okay. That's, I think they should
cheap.
Be a little bit higher for the hardcover.
I know.
A lot of these are brand new books.
Mm-hmm.
That come to the newspapers, mm-hmm. and come to broadcast media as review copies. These, mm-hmm. are books that you'd have to spend $25, $30, $35, $40 in the bookstore.
Exactly.
And they're brand new, so a lot of booksellers come and join the press club for that reason,
exactly.
so that they have first crack at these books.
Exactly.
But there'll be plenty tomorrow, and the sale starts at what time?
The sale tomorrow starts at 9 o'clock and is over promptly at noon.
9 to noon only.
9 to noon only.
Okay, yeah. So get there. And where is the Press Club located?
Press Club's 1330 Glen Arm Place. We're directly opposite the Denver Athletic Club between 13th and 14th on Glen Arm.
And there's street parking, and it's a little less expensive than it used to be. So
that's right.
So it's a good
that's
deal.
That's right.
And what about this breakfast? It's
this
going
breakfast,
to be held.
What is this breakfast all about?
What is it? You asked me.
I know.
This is not exactly breakfast at Tiffany, not even close, actually.
No, but it'll be fun. And we made it breakfast because we know you have a show at noon, so we couldn't exactly
I
do
I know,
both.
But I'm not guaranteeing I'm going to be awake at 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. We've got lots of coffee.
But no one can tell the difference anyway. How do we know for sure?
We started this unit a couple years ago. We wanted to kind of demystify the media for people. And we got a show on Channel 8 called Lunch on Deadline. And they've been doing it for about 3 years now on TV. So not only will people be able to come and ask you questions and, you know, ask what it's like to be a talk show radio host and how you got into that and what your career was before that, you know, what you did in San Francisco, et cetera. But they'll also get to hear your explanation of, you know, like how you view Denver after, what is it now, 2 years?
Year and a half. Yeah.
They'll get your perceptions.
June of last year, so yeah. Whatever that is.
Not that they don't have your perceptions if they listen to the show already.
Yeah, right.
But it might be.
Not that I've exactly hit under.
Yeah. But it might be interesting.
More
for people
personal, that, I think.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah. And you know, talk radio isn't kind of.
Oh, how personal are you going to get?
Oh, that's up to Bruce Goldberg.
Oh my God,
he's the moderator.
I'm hiding.
I'm in the audience.
I'm bringing a chastity belt with me.
Actually, we had a former DA once who came to one of these things, and he actually did have body armor on.
Did he really?
Yeah, it was a joke. But no, it's pretty fair, and it'll be on for what it's worth. If people can't be here Thursday, the 18th at 9 o'clock, and that event is open to the public, by the way.
$12 if you're not a member, $10 if you are. And
right.
Breakfast. What do they serve for breakfast?
Eggs.
Oh.
Eggs and bacon, something like that.
Oh, okay. So regular breakfast.
Yeah, regular breakfast.
And it's going to be broadcast on Channel 8 starting in
exactly.
January sometime?
Yeah, and it's broadcast. People will start to come up to you and say, I saw you on TV. You
know. I can't get Channel 8 because I have a satellite something or other,
and it doesn't.
I was trying. I would. My eyeballs would have been glued to John's
to
TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't see it.
We have a dish here, too.
I have any of my neighbors or friends up on John's TV.
No, it's a good show, I think, and it will be on. A lot of people will see it over time.
And
they show it like 5 times a week.
Now, there are some upcoming events that we should be talking about. I know you're
going
to have Carl Hyacin coming in later. He won
on
the
April
Damon,
2nd.
Damon Runyon Award. Alan Goodman's coming in.
Yeah.
Talk to me about New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve is the best. For $75 if you're a member and for $100 if you're not, you can come have a 5-course dinner made by Daniel Young, our excellent chef here,
mm-hmm.
and you've had some of his food.
Oh, he's wonderful.
You get a complimentary cocktail when you sit down.
You mean that when you're drinking that cocktail, it pays you a compliment?
Yeah, exactly.
It says, "Oh,
it
you're
bubbles.
So looking, div-
it
you're
says
looking
you're
divine
so effervescent,
tonight."
You know? And then you also get an effervescent drink at the end of the night. You get a champagne toast.
Yes, as you drive off.
Yeah, exactly.
As you drive off into the arms of the Denver Police Department.
Well, hopefully not. You know, but and in between we have the fireworks. This is a good vantage point to see the downtown fireworks.
Oh, they have fireworks.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know exactly when, but traditionally they've done them at 10 and at midnight.
Where do they do the fireworks?
Both ends of the mall.
Ah.
Yeah, it's really neat. I mean, you got to see it.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you get a dessert bar. There's appetizers. And I know you'll want to take advantage of the cigar bar in the poker
oh,
room.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see you down there already.
I'm going to have to get a tattoo in preparation.
Right.
And the group Traffic Jam will be playing for dancing.
Who you just heard, I guess,
yeah.
or talked to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raul.
Yeah.
He sang deep into my boogity boogity heart.
He did.
Oh, he did.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, and let's not forget, there's another thing coming up. There's a play called I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a kind of a theater night here at the Press Club. For $45, you get dinner at the Press Club, and then we're going to walk over there and we get discount tickets to that show.
John Enslin, thank you so much
for
all these events, and thank you so much for your fine work on the show today.
You're welcome.
John Enslin produces these shows, and his day job is as a reporter for the Rocky Mountain
News. It's my day off.
Thank you. Well, we did a wonderful job, as always, and I have a lot of other people to thank. Joe Anderson, brilliant job. Thank you so much. Stephen, you've helped. You've done a wonderful job. Back in the studio is who's back in the studio? Sean, you did a great job, Sean. Thanks so much for all of your help. Thanks to all of you who listened today. I'll be back with you Monday, same time, same place, noon to 3. So let's have lunch together, noon to 3 on KNRC. Doug Kellett up next from 3 to 6 and 6 to 9. Dominic and Billy start your day with Greg Dobbs on Monday, 6 to 10. And I'll see you at noon. Do something generous. Have a fabulous weekend. Leave the world a better place. I'm Enid Goldstein. See you Monday at noon.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 33 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Denver Pavilions. Where the thorny matter of homelessness is concerned, the city of Denver is not sitting idly by. This is from Sue Cobb with the Human Services Department. They're working to create additional shelter space for the city's homeless population. A proposed shelter would be in Cobb's own building, the Human Services Building at 1200 Federal. She says that today staffers are meeting with nearby residents, but it's not a speedy process.
There is no timetable for making an announcement on this, but we are obviously the need is urgent, so we're hoping to move ahead quickly, but it definitely will depend on how the neighborhood receives our responses to their concerns.
Cobb says the city is proposing transporting the homeless by bus to the Human Services Building at night and then busing them elsewhere in the morning. Cobb says the local chapter of the Guardian Angels today offered its services to patrol the area around the Human Services Building during the hours in which it houses the homeless. Already at crisis proportions, Denver's homeless issue intensified Wednesday when a man froze to death in Civic Center Park. Denver police investigators continue looking for a man who last night entered the Cash Express check cashing service on East Colfax, placed what appeared to be an explosive device on the counter and then walked out without saying a word. Minutes later, the teller got a call from the suspect who demanded that cash be placed in a bag on the counter. He warned her not to hit the panic button, but